Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. The show originally aired on the Premier Networks Saturday, September 23rd, 2017. I am not here. I'm on vacation, but good news, KTLA's Tech Guy, Rich Demura, filled in for me. I think you're going to enjoy the show. This is episode 1424. Please enjoy it, but not too much. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by 23andMe. With 23andMe's genetic service, you can learn what percentage of your DNA comes from places like Italy, Finland, East Asia, or Neanderthals. Visit 23andMe.com/twit. And by Fracture. Fracture is a photo decor company that prints your photos directly onto glass and then delivers it to your door ready to display right out of the box. You're going to love them. Visit FractureMe.com/podcast for 10% off your first order and select the Tech Guy so Fracture knows where you heard about them. And by Qualcomm Snapdragon Gigabit LTE. To make the most of your unlimited data plan, go to Snapdragon.com/gigabit.
What is going on? Rich DeMuro here, and this is The Tech Guy. And you're wondering, hey, wait a second, you're not Leo Laporte. No, I'm not. I'm Rich DeMuro, and I'm filling in for Leo today. So honored to be here. So excited to be spending the day with you talking tech. And what a better week. I couldn't think of a better week to fill in for Leo while he's on vacation than this week, because so many things happened. This was a fantastic week for tech news. We saw iPhone. We saw announcements by Nest. We saw Google by a part of HTC. I mean, what a crazy week. Yesterday, you know, I was out covering the iPhone 8. That was a big deal. So we've got lots to talk about in the next 3 hours. Thank you so much for listening. I will do my best to answer your questions and have fun. And, you know, I may not be Leo, but I love what Leo does, and I have a lot of respect for him. So this is such a great time for me to have some fun with you guys. So thank you for this opportunity, Leo. If you don't know who I am, which you probably don't, my name is Rich DeMuro. I'm a tech reporter at KTLA Television in Los Angeles, Channel 5, for those of you listening out there. And I've been working there for many years, and I've been covering tech for about a decade now. So I used to work at CNET. That's sort of where I got my first start covering tech. Before that, I was a reporter in a bunch of places. You know, I did consumer news, but then I finally got to do my love, which is tech. And I do this report that's syndicated across a bunch of TV stations. So, you know, I basically talk about consumer technology. So trying to tell people the latest tips for their iPhone or how things work or whether you should buy this or whether you shouldn't buy this. And my favorite part of my job is just getting to play with all this stuff. So that's the greatest part about being a tech reporter, is that you get the stuff, you get to play with it, you get to have fun with it. And of course, I answer a lot of questions already by email and my Facebook and Twitter. But today is going to be a little different. So I'm excited for this. The big story this week is the iPhone. iPhone 8 launched yesterday. And here's the thing. I have been covering the iPhone for 10 years. I was outside the launch in New York City back in, gosh, when was that? 07 of June for the original iPhone, which, by the way, I bought. I was basically at the Apple event in New York City, you know, 10,000 people lined up, crazy. And I'll never forget Apple, while I was covering the event, they're like, do you want to buy one of these phones? And I'm like, I didn't think I'd have that opportunity because I didn't wait in line. And sure enough, next thing you know, I'm taking out my credit card issued by CNET, and I am buying the phone. And later on, I asked my boss, I said, hey, would you split this with me so that we can, you know, so I don't have to pay this whole, I forget how much it was. I think it was $600. Seemed like a lot at the time, but now they're even more expensive. But anyway, so I got the original iPhone. And then, of course, you know, 10 years later, here we are with iPhone 8 and iPhone 10 coming out soon. But yesterday, what a crazy day. I show up at the Pasadena Apple store outside Los Angeles, which I always go to for the you know, the iPhone launches, and I pull up there around 5 a.m. We, you know, we go on around 5:45 live, and there is not a person standing outside the Pasadena Apple store. And I am I am literally sitting there in my car as I drove by twice saying, wait a second, I'm looking at my watch. Did I get the wrong day? Did I get the wrong time? Is there a problem here? Was the launch called off? Did something happen overnight that I just didn't know about? I was so confused. I have never been to an Apple event where there's not a person standing outside. And I felt two things. I felt sadness because I said, wow, this is really sad. It's kind of weird. And I felt, I don't know what the other thing I felt was, but I just felt like, no, I was in the right place. So it's okay. But I felt like we had ourselves a story because how strange is that? Apple is this company that is, you know, a behemoth, pretty much makes the top smartphone in the world. You know, as far as coverage goes, I mean, coverage wise and people that love it and all that kind of stuff, but no one's there. It was just an unbelievable sight to me. And I tweeted out a picture that, you know, kind of went viral yesterday. You can see it on my Twitter at Rich DeMuro if you want, but I couldn't believe it. I mean, I just said, I've never seen this in 10 years. Now I've seen the lines go up and down over the years. Some years have bigger releases. Some years have better phones. If there's a new design, a new feature, people really go crazy over it. But this year, the iPhone 8 literally fell flat. Now, it didn't fall flat. I mean, obviously, people bought the phone. I mean, I have one sitting right here. This is a loaner from Apple. But, you know, I've been using it and checking it out. It's not a bad device. There's nothing wrong with the iPhone 8. But the problem is, where were all the people? Did they order it online? Are they waiting for the 10? Are they just uninterested at this point? But we're going to get the sales numbers in a couple months from Apple, and I guarantee they will sell a lot of these phones. In fact, I might even argue it might be a better phone to buy than the iPhone 10 at this point. But let's talk about the iPhone 8, some of the reaction from it. I've been using it for a couple of days now, and Tom's Hardware, they say the iPhone 8 is the fastest phone in the world. They say it's not even close to other phones. Now, the phone I was using before the iPhone 8 was the Note 8. And the Note 8, I thought, was pretty darn good. Pretty fast. Pretty sleek. Pretty slick. Nice design. And I thought that was a great phone. But here's the thing. When they did their tests, so I don't know what these numbers mean, but basically they did some sort of Geekbench test. iPhone 8 Plus gets a 10,400. iPhone 8 gets a 10,200. Galaxy Note 8 gets a 6,500. So I don't know, you know, what that means necessarily, you know, for as far as phones go. But I mean, you're talking, that is, I don't care what these numbers are, but that's a big divide between 10 and 6. So, you know, I you know, as far as the camera goes, I feel like it seems very similar. But when you look at DxOMark, they gave the iPhone 8 their best score ever, which is insane to me because guess what my phone was before the Note 8? It was the Pixel. And the Pixel to me is literally, I could show anyone a picture from the Google Pixel and no matter who they are, young, old, phone person, non-phone person, person who's into tech, person who's not into tech, and every single person had the same reaction to those pictures. Wow. That's unlike anything I've seen before. And I cannot believe that DxOMark says that the iPhone 8 Plus is their best smartphone they've ever tested. Yeah, we're going to be taking calls today, by the way. I should probably mention that. This is a call-in show. I know I'm on my rant right now, but the phone number, 1-888-ASK-LEO. 1-888-ASK-LEO. 8888. There we go. 8888-ASK-LEO. How much easier is that? Just dial 8888-ASK-LEO. So we'll be taking calls as well. So I do want to talk to you guys. I can't wait. Back to the iPhone, though. 94 out of 100 on their score. The Pixel, which, by the way, I literally didn't think a phone could be better than that when it came to pictures, got a 90. So if you're telling me the iPhone 8 takes 4 degrees better pictures than the Pixel, I'm just... I can't believe it. That's crazy to me. And only time will tell. I mean, I took one picture, I posted it on my Instagram today. I was pretty impressed with it. But here's the thing. Pictures on a phone look great when you're looking at them in an isolated kind of environment. You know, you look at a picture, you say, oh, it's a great picture. The only way you can really tell when a picture is better than another picture is when you take that same picture side by side with another phone. And that's kind of why I like testing these phones out, because not many people get to do that. Here's the thing. You walk into your local superstore to buy a new phone. 99% of the time, they're dummy units sitting there at a desk tied to a, you know, a chain, and you look at it and you feel it in your hand. And you go, all right, I'll take this one. I mean, how could you possibly know if you want to live with that phone for the next 2 years when you, you know, just pick up a dummy model? This is why I love testing these things, because I get to play with them for a week or two or three or a month and really put this thing through the paces and see, like, what makes this different than another phone? What makes this phone have an X quality? Oh, shouldn't have said X. iPhone 10. Just giving me memories of that. But what makes these things different? All right, we're going to take your calls next. 88-88, Ask Leo. I'm Rich DeMuro. I'll see you in just a few moments here. Rich DeMuro here on The Tech Guy, filling in for Leo Laporte today. TechGuyLabs.com is the place to go if you want to see everything we talk about here on the show. 88-88, Ask Leo is the phone number if you want to jump in. We've got phone lines open. You want to ask a call about, or you want to ask a question about tech, whatever's on your mind today. And we've got a lot of calls already lined up. Let's bring in Kim Schaefer, our call screener. Kim, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Good morning.
Hey, good morning to you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. So are we getting calls? Are people people asking questions?
And we've got some related to your monologue about the iPhone. So we should probably go with Paul in Diamond Bar. He just bought an iPhone 7, and it's within that 14-day period, and he's wondering if he should go up to the 8 or if he should just stay with the 7. He's on line 4.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, that's a great question. All right, I'm going to take Paul in Diamond Bar.
Hi, Rich.
You're on with Rich.
Hey, how you doing, Rich?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing today?
I'm well. So I ended up getting a deal on the iPhone 7 at one of the local stores here. I got a discount on top of what they were selling it for through my employer. And I noticed on the website that they're not selling the iPhone 7s anymore. So I just wanted to know if you think it was worth maybe trading up to the iPhone 8 or just keeping the iPhone 7.
So you just bought the 7 and you're still within your 14-day return window?
Yeah, literally like 2 days ago.
Did you not see any of the news that the iPhone 8 was coming out, or what happened? I mean, or was it just a momentary lapse where you just needed something and you're like, look, I'm just going to get this?
Yeah, it was a momentary lapse, and they were willing to give me an additional 30% off of the price. It was one of the last ones there.
Well, it was a fire sale, sounds like. Here's the thing. Yeah. So, I mean, you just bought an iPhone 7. How much did you pay for this device?
$600 out the door.
Oh, okay. So, okay. Well, then there you go. I mean, so you're going to be paying an extra $100 to get your new device. But if it was, if it was me, you know, what did you trade up from?
It was an old iPhone 5S.
Okay, so this is definitely a pretty big jump for you in general. But here's the deal. I mean, I'm the kind of person. Okay, so the iPhone 7 has already been out for a year, right? And so you bought a device that's a year old, which is fine for you because it's new and it's great and it takes better pictures and it's faster. But the reality is you've already spent the $600. So to me, I would go the extra $100 further to get the newest device that is just out. You know, it's only, you know, a day old. And now you're going to keep this device for the next 2 years. So I really think that you should probably take advantage of that return period. If you got it for a lot less, like let's say you got it for $400 or something like that, I'd probably say maybe just keep it. But the reality is you didn't pay much less than the iPhone 8 is going for. And you know, the iPhone 8 is going for $700.
So it's double the memory of the iPhone 7.
Yeah, you get double the memory. I mean, these are all reasons why you might want to just go with the newest. Now, the camera on the iPhone 8 is very similar to the 7. I mean, it's from what I'm reading, it's better in, you know, a lot of different ways. The sensor's bigger and that kind of stuff, and it's better at HDR for sure. In my personal experience with it, having it for 3 days now, I can't see a huge difference. But you know, that doesn't mean the processor is really what I'm most interested in, because you've got this new processor that's way faster than before. In fact, faster than the 7. So I think that, to me, especially if you're looking at the apps that are coming out that are like huge, so most of the apps nowadays, the big ones are like hundreds of megabytes. So you got to be able to run those things with ease. So I'd say,
okay,
pack that thing up, and don't forget one thing. I just realized the restocking fee. You know what I mean? So that's one thing that you have to think about is if this company, whoever you bought it from, is going to charge you a restocking fee. And sometimes those can be, you know, $35 or 15% or 10%, you know, it depends. So you have to take that into consideration as well. So if they're going to charge you a restocking fee, that could definitely play into this because you don't really want to pay $50 just for that mistake. So, all right. Thanks so much, Paul, in Diamond Bar, California. Thanks so much for being the very first caller today. Phone number 8888-ASK-LEO. I'm Rich DeMuro again. When we're talking all kinds of stuff. It looks like a lot of the calls right now are about the iPhone. So, Joe, let's get Joe on the line here. It looks like Joe has a theory on this. Joe, calling from New York. What's your theory on the iPhone 8?
Well, it's they all start off that they want to give you, you know, high speed and you know, fastest. They all say they're the fastest. But as time goes on, they slow down. And these newer phones will appear to be faster, but I don't believe they are faster.
Well, and you know, here's the thing. I mean, everyone always says that to me. They always say, Rich, why does my phone slow down right when the new Apple product comes out? You know, they put out these software updates like iOS 11 just to slow down my old phone. And here's what I explain to people, because the reality is Apple is not slowing down your phone. The processor is exactly the same as it was on day one when you got the phone. The difference is the applications are using so many more resources as time goes on because they can. And Apple is building it that way. So when we saw, you know, iOS 11, it's a big download and it's going to tax your phone more. So if you have an iPhone 5 or a 6, you're going to feel that. You're going to feel the upgrade because, yeah, you're getting new software, but it's not going to be as fast. And just by virtue of any machine that runs over time. Now, I got to say, when it comes to Android versus iPhone, Android devices that I've had, they always slow down over time. And they just, no matter what, the apps, everything just kind of gets a little bit, I don't know, gummed up in there. iPhone, for what it's worth, it definitely stays very fast. Now, I think what I mostly see is the speed of the apps loading, the speed of the operating system, changing things. So, I mean, there's really not much you can do about that as an end user. You know, if you get 2 years out of something, which a lot of people do, that's a pretty good amount of time for a device where things are changing so fast right now. I mean, we're just seeing technology change at a really rapid pace. And so I think 2 years is a nice amount of time for these phones. Some people keep them for 3. And, you know, it's not Apple being malicious. It's not Android being malicious about trying to slow down your devices so you're forced to upgrade. It's really just the applications. I mean, look at all these apps now that can use ARKit, you know, augmented reality. Those are a load on the system I can't imagine. I mean, those are a huge load on the system. So that's the reality of these devices. And then people, of course, you know, try to do things. I personally like to, if I'm upgrading the operating system on any device, I'm kind of a nerd, so I want to do a clean install. And so that means I want to wipe my system clean and I want to do a fresh install. And this includes any time I get like an update for my laptop, you know, new operating system, or even a new operating system for my phone. I like to format the whole thing and then start over. And in fact, even when I get a new device, like with this device, the iPhone 8, I was just in a rush, so I did a restore for my old, you know, iCloud. But I'm the kind of person that likes to do everything fresh. I like to, you know, set it up and start over. Because a lot of times, too, you've selected settings and you've changed things over the years or over the last, you know, couple months that you've used the phone that you kind of forget about. And you're like, wait a second, why am I not getting calendar events or invites or whatever? Oh, I turned that off. Why am I getting no notifications? Oh, I turned that off. So it gives you kind of a fresh start. 8888 Ask Leo is the phone number. Tech Guy Labs is the website. I'm Rich DeMuro, richontech.tv. If you want to learn more about me, we'll be back. Man, we've had lots of great calls so far. Lots of people asking about the iPhone, but I'm excited for our next guest because we get to talk about something I've been playing with for the last week or so. Scott Wilkinson is the Home Theater Geek, editor of avsforum.com. He also hosts the Home Theater Geeks podcast on the Twit Network. Scott, thanks so much for joining me today on this Saturday.
Hey, Rich. Glad to be here.
So how are you doing, first off?
Well, I'm doing great. Thanks.
Good.
I'm a little jealous because you already have an Apple 5, Apple TV 5. I don't yet. I've only been writing about it in theory.
Okay.
But, well, I look forward to trying it out. Absolutely.
It's funny because, and when you look at it and you set it up, there's almost nothing different about it except what it does, obviously, and the remote. So you had the old one, obviously, the old. I mean, the ancient.
The old one.
It's a year old at this point. It's so old.
2 years, I think. I think 2015 was the last one.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not 100% about that, but I think that's correct.
I actually looked it up when I did my review to, like, see when I got my – I looked up my receipt to see the old one. I think it was, the end of 2015. It was, like – might have been, like – yeah. Anyway, the only thing that I noticed taking out of the box was when you have the old one, remember the remote? It's, like, really tough to figure out which way is up when you're – when you just put it in your hand, it's all like basically the same. It doesn't feel any different. So this one, and I'm sure you know this, they put a little ring around the home button.
The menu button.
So you can now feel that and kind of right yourself with this remote, which is really smart. It's funny because, you know, Apple never admits anything that they sort of, they'll never admit that that was a problem. Yeah. But it's like, obviously you knew it was because look what we have on the new one. So clearly they're listening. So let's talk about this Apple TV 4K. What are your thoughts on it initially before we go?
I'm really happy that Apple has, you know, finally joined the 4K and high dynamic range world. They were one of the last major streamers not to have 4K, even much less high dynamic range. But now they do. And not only do they support HDR10, which is the sort of default HDR format, but also Dolby Vision, which I generally consider to be superior to HDR10. And the really good news is that at the launch of the Apple TV 4K or Apple TV 5th generation, whatever you want to call it, they also made available a lot of movies in 4K and HDR on iTunes.
And the best part about that is twofold, in my opinion. First off, the movies you already bought got a free upgrade.
Is that great or what?
I mean, how in the world, who went down there? Eddie Q? I mean, who went down to Hollywood and said, look, guys, we know you love to charge more anytime there's a format upgrade, but we're not going to let you do it. We're going to just hear us out. I don't know how in the world they convinced Hollywood to do that.
Man, oh, man, that is awesome. Plus, the purchase price of those movies is less than most other places.
Which is crazy. Google Play, you buy Wonder Woman in 4K, it's $30. You buy it on iTunes and it's $20. I mean, literally, that is going to have everyone rethinking the pricing for 4K. Now, I noticed they haven't changed it just yet. You know, like Amazon, these people, they haven't lowered the price. In fact, I've had a Fire TV, which is, you know, I bought it, you know, I got it the day it came out with the 4K. And I've never purchased a movie in 4K. I'm not even sure you can rent movies in 4K on there. I don't remember, but
I don't either.
I don't, you know, it's like one of those things where the only 4K I experienced on there was obviously the YouTube app, which we'll talk about on Apple TV, why that's kind of a problem. But the other thing was all the Amazon original shows are in 4K. So I would just sit there and, you know, look at those in 4K and they looked pretty darn good. So tell me, okay. This is the problem with the Apple TV. So the Apple loves to tell you things that things do. And, they do have a lot of wins with this device.
But they do.
They don't tell you about the things it doesn't do, which, number one, Amazon Video is not there, hopefully by the end of the year, right? We've been waiting for this forever.
They've announced that it's coming, so we know it's going to be there. But YouTube isn't.
So the app is there. YouTube app is there. But YouTube uses a codec that apparently the Apple TV 4K doesn't support.
That's correct. It's called VP9. Apple TV supports a codec called HEVC, High Efficiency Video Codec, otherwise known as H.265. But YouTube uses a different one called VP9. And apparently the new Apple TV does not have that codec built in. So if you go to YouTube, you can't get any of their 4K stuff. So that ain't going
to
be there.
That's a problem because YouTube is like, you know, the de facto place to go for free 4K stuff.
That's right. Exactly right.
Is this going to be a war between Apple and Google? Because I don't see Google. I mean, here's the thing. I guess, you know, when you go to YouTube, obviously the videos are transcoded in like a bazillion different ways to work on a lot of different devices.
Yeah.
So how come they're not transcoded? Is it that YouTube is using a specific codec just for 4K or what?
Well, I honestly don't know because I'm not inside of YouTube, but I do know that VP9 is a Google developed codec. So, you know, they must be saying, hey, this is our codec. We like it. Maybe even better than HEVC. I'm not sure I would say that, but they probably would.
So they want to spread that codec as far as possible, but at the same time, keeping in mind people that, you know, are going to be mad or just drop
YouTube. And they're the only ones using it, as far as I know.
Right. But if Google is behind it, you know, they want to get it everywhere. Let's talk about the HDMI cable. So do I need a new HDMI cable when I buy a 4K Apple TV?
No, probably not, I should say. As long as you have an HDMI cable that is rated at high speed, and by that we really mean 18 gigabits per second, then it doesn't matter. The only caveat I will say to that is that if you're running a fairly long distance, like over, I'd say, 3 meters, 10 feet roughly, then you might run into a problem. Unless you have an active cable, that is one with a little piece of circuitry in it that kind of pushes the signal along and doesn't allow it to degrade. As you push a high bandwidth signal over longer distances on copper anyway, the signal can tend to degrade. And you'll either get sparklies on the TV, or the picture will come and go, or it just won't show at all. I just saw at Cedia this year, which is a big trade show in my industry, a fiber optic cable for HDMI that can go up to 200 meters. So that's one option. It's expensive, but it's one way to get a long distance from, say, your AVR or your streamer, in this case, to the TV.
So what about the input on my TV? Because I noticed when I plugged, and I have a 4K Vizio, which is recent. You know, I bought it last year. I think it's the... Is it the P series? The M
series? P-series?
I think it's the M
P
series.
P or M,
yeah,
probably.
One of those. It was cheap. I mean, it was an amazing deal. I mean, it's Vizio.
Vizio's amazing.
You get everything for a great deal. But my question is, when I plugged it in, it didn't work on the one port. So I actually had to switch to a different port. And I kind of noticed this with my old TV.
Yeah.
Not every HDMI port is created equally. Is that just on old TVs,
correct,
or is that still?
No, that's still. There are certain ports on these TVs that work with 4K and HDR and others that don't.
I mean, that's a bummer.
And that's because they, for some reason, and I really don't understand why, manufacturers have said some of these HDMI ports are going to operate at 10.2 gigabits per second, and others are going to operate at 18. Even worse, in the case of, say, the Sony OLED, which I have, and many others, I believe, you have to go in and tell it, I want you to operate at 18 gigabits per second on this port.
Oh man!
So it defaults to 10.
So
they do that because it's back more backwards compatible.
And bottom line is, if you plug it into one and it doesn't work, don't bring back the device. You know, try
That's
a different
right.
port on your TV. Scott
right.
Wilkinson, thanks so much for joining me. Scott is the Home Theater Geek and editor of avsforum.com. You can also catch his show, The Home Theater Geeks Podcast, on Twit. We'll be back with your calls, 8888 Ask Leo, after this.
Hey everybody, nice to see you all this fine Saturday. That was fun. Yeah, you didn't even get to talk about the other parts of the Apple TV, many of them. One of them is it takes everything that comes in, no matter what it is, whether it's standard dynamic range, high dynamic range, high definition, standard definition, or ultra high definition UHD 4K, and it upconverts everything to 4K HDR at 60 frames per second. That's the other thing. It can reconverts everything to that and sends it to your TV. Now, Rich was talking about, you know, I can't see whether it's 4K or HDR on his TV, and that is I'm a little surprised at that because I don't remember the Vizio now, the M series, whether, but most TVs will tell you when they first get a signal what it is, and in the case of the Apple TV 5 or 4K, depending on how you want to name it. It should say 4K HDR at the top for everything that it sends because it's upconverting everything. And what I've read, and I'd love to get Rich's take on this too, is that in some cases that upconversion isn't very good. And so what I want and what I think most home theater geeks want is for the Apple TV 4K to have a quote-unquote native mode, which just sends whatever it's getting straight to the TV without up converting it, without screwing around with it, and let the TV do the up conversion. And it doesn't have that. What it does have, you can manually go in and say, I want things to go out at 4K 60 frames per second or 4K 30 frames per second or 24 even, or 25 or 50 in the case of Europe. And then it will put everything in that format and send it off. So really, to see things, to send things to the TV in their native format, you need to manually go into the Apple TV and reset the output for whatever that is. Now, that means you have to know what it is ahead of time. It's a big fat pain in the butt, in my opinion. And so Apple was asked, why did you do this? And they said, well, we want the menu system and the screensaver, which everyone's saying, ooh, the screensaver is so lovely in 4K. They wanted that all to be 4K 60. And if you change the output resolution or parameters of the Apple TV, that's what the menu will be in. And they wanted it to look as good as possible. And I'm saying, I don't care what the menu looks like particularly. I want the content to look its best. That's what I want. So I really think and I hope that Apple listens and puts in what's called a native mode, which would then take whatever's coming into the Apple TV, whatever it's streaming, it sends to your TV or your display, your projector, whatever, in the format that it came in, and let the TV deal with it. Because apparently, even though the Apple TV has this badass processor, A10X, I think it's called, which is the same as the iPad Pro, it's a great processor, but apparently the upscaling doesn't necessarily work all that well.
Welcome back to The Tech Guy. I'm Rich DeMuro, filling in for Leo Laporte today. TechGuyLabs.com is the website to go to. If you're driving, you hear something that's interesting, and you don't need to pull over and write it all down. We got it all there on the website. The phone number, 8888-ASK-LEO, 8888-ASK-LEO, 1-888-827-5536 if you want to call in and ask your question. Again, I'm Rich DeMuro. I'm the reporter for a tech reporter for KTLA TV in Los Angeles, Channel 5. So I do a tech segment that is beamed out to a bunch of TV stations on a daily basis. We talk tech, we talk gadgets, what you should buy, what you shouldn't buy, tips, all kinds of fun stuff. I've got a website, richontech.tv, where I put a bunch of the stuff that I do. And it's a lot of fun. I love this stuff. I mean, come on. If you could pick a job where you talk about something you love every day of your life, why would you not want to talk about technology? I mean, well, come on. Some people want to be, a lawyer or a doctor. No. To me, I want to talk about tech because it's the stuff that impacts us on a daily basis, and it's a ton of fun. All right. Let's go to David in Logan Sport, Indiana. David, you're on. Hi, with Rich. How you doing today?
Hey, good. How are you?
Great. What's your question?
I wonder if there is a way that I can print out my contact information from an Apple SE phone through my computer. I used to be able to do it from a BlackBerry site when I had one of those.
Okay.
But I'm not sure how I can do it with my phone.
So what kind of computer do you have?
I have a HP.
Okay,
laptop.
So you've got So here's what I think you need to do. So now I'm not sure. Let's see. You can, they store everything that you have in iCloud, obviously. Are you using iCloud or no?
I've had my phone set up in iCloud, but I really don't know a whole lot about how to navigate it.
Okay. So what I think you need to do to print these out is, I think what you have to do is you have to get these synced into some other way to do that. Because for me personally, I would just literally go on my laptop. I have a Mac, which is all synced up with my contacts to my phone. So I would just literally, I'm looking in the contacts app right here on the Mac. So if you have a Mac, it's very simple. You just make sure you're synced up, and then you just go export PDF. And literally, all your contacts are going to come out on a PDF, and there you have it. So with the iPhone, now I think there's probably some apps that will do this for you. But I think the easiest way to do it is to probably somehow get these into, like, say, Google or something like that. You're going to have to get these in. You can't go direct from the iPhone, as far as I know, into a PDF. So you're going to have to sync them to your computer. Once you have them on a website that your computer can read, then you go in there and you export them as a PDF. Now, the only thing I would say about this is this: if this is your backup of your contacts, that's fine. But you probably want these synced out synced up somewhere else, just because if you're going to be switching phones or you just want to have this as a backup, you probably want to have a backup file of these. So the other day I was actually working with my contacts, and before I did any changes, I went through and did a CSV, which is a comma separated value spreadsheet of all of my contacts. And that way, if something ever happened, you'd be able to restore those. And CSV is basically the standard for sort of, data sets like this. So especially the address book. I mean, there's another one too, but I think the CSV will be your best bet. So I would look on the App Store, see if there's just an app that will do it for you. There may be on the App Store. I don't know. I haven't used that because I have my contacts in various places where I can do this, but that's probably going to be the easiest way to do it. And I don't think it's going to be that big of a problem for you. So contacts are a funny thing because to me, I literally don't even look at my contacts anymore to see like what information is in there. And when I do, I notice that there is so much stuff inside my contacts. My favorite, and some of you will remember this, because I've synced to so many different devices, but my favorite is that every little app or every phone I had over the years had something to say about my contacts. They would always try to do something. Like Samsung would try to add in, link some of the contacts. HTC, they were pretty good with contacts. They would merge all these different fields. So my favorite is whenever I see a contact that says HTC in there or edited by HTC, it cracks me up because it just reminds me that this stuff in these contacts is so old. I mean, who goes through their contacts and actually kind of edits them for clarity and cleans things up? No, the only time you ever do that is when you have a problem and you don't have the person's phone number and you're like, oh my gosh, where's their number? How come it's not in here? And they're like, wait, what's all this other stuff in here? Another program I really like, by the way, if we're talking about contacts, is called EverContact. And this is really cool. It's a paid program, but there's a free version of it that I use. But what's really neat about it is that you link it up to your account, like your Gmail account, and it will scan all of the signatures in your emails and literally link them up with the people that are in your address book. So for me, like this morning, I got an alert that said, hey, 128 of your contacts have been changed. So do you want to update their information? And I love that because a lot of times when you email with someone, they have all their contact info in their signature, but some of that info might not be in your address book. So this is a really good way to kind of have this program use some AI, artificial intelligence, to kind of scan and say, oh, look, here's Deborah's email address. Here's her phone number. Here's her cell. Here's her address. And it'll present you with a little email maybe once a week. And it will say, hey, do you want to import these put these changes in your address book. And I find it very handy. You don't want all of them, obviously, because there's a lot of stuff in there that you don't necessarily need. But I just find it's a really handy tool. It's called evercontact.com. And let's see how much this thing costs. I have the pricing. I have just the free version. Yeah, individual. So the free version, analysis of incoming email signatures, 30 emails per day max. And then there's automatic address book updates for Gmail, Outlook, and Office 365. So you've got that. And then if you want to pay $5 a month, you can do unlimited email analysis and centralized contacts and a dedicated address book. But I've been using just the free one forever and it works just great. So definitely check out EverContact. Another one I like while we're on the topic of address books. I mean, this is exciting stuff. Full Contact. So this is another website I actually have my contacts synced with as well. And Full Contact, again, they want you to pay. And this one's extremely expensive if you want to buy it. It's like kind of crazy. I think it's like $10 a month, which is insane. But I mean, look, if you're a business salesperson, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that you would pay for. Because in one job, if you get a job from this, it will pay for itself. But I use the free version again. And what Full Contact does is it kind of brings in information about all of your contacts. So it will literally search online for their LinkedIn profile and their email addresses or their Twitter profile. And it will put all this stuff in your contacts for you. And it's not always right, but it a lot of times is. And it's just kind of nice. Again, fullcontact.com is the name of the website. And why that's cool is because you don't have to do all the work. So they're not going to find necessarily phone numbers for you, but it will find all the data surrounding that person, including avatars. So, if they have a an image that they use for your contact, you know, on Twitter, it will bring that in to your contact. So when they call you on your phone, it doesn't just have a blank photo for the person. So I really like that. So that's my favorite feature, because I have not been able to find a good way to sync my profile photos from Facebook anymore into my contacts, because I feel like either Facebook changed something. It used to be inside the app, and it used to be inside on the iPhone as well and on Android. And I used to use something called HackSync. That worked really well, but now it just doesn't seem to work anymore. So if you guys have a good suggestion for that, let me know, because I just haven't been able to find that. All right, let's take one more call right here. Let's see. Man, we've had so many people holding for us. So David, again, thanks so much for calling from Indiana. All right, let's go quick to Norma in Georgia. Norma, you're on with Rich.
Hi, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good. I have a question. I recently retired, and I was paying internet, cable, and a home phone through one bundle thing, and it was quite expensive.
Sure.
So after I retired, I have to change all my flow of funds. So I did away with the internet and the cable, and I took out the home phone because I never used it anyway. But I use my cellular, and it's a prepaid plan. And I have my iPad Air that I want to use as the same thing, because I don't want to look at my cell phone for you scanning the internet. It's just too small. Because I talked to somebody and they said if I had a 10.3 or later or something, that I could, if it had a SIM card.
Yeah, you're trying to share your internet. You're trying to share your internet with your from your device to your iPad. If you're on a prepaid plan, generally they don't allow that. So I don't really know of a plan that lets that. But check out a thing called Freedom Pop, freedompop.com. All right, we'll be back with more of your calls after this. Let's now have an important message from Leo.
We'll be back with more with Rich and the Tech Guy Show after a word from 23 and Me. So many breakthroughs now in genetics, right? This is the next really great frontier for invention and innovation. But you can participate today. Wouldn't you like to know your genetics, what your genetic breakdown is? You can, very easily, with 23andMe. 23, of course, is your 23 unique chromosomes that determine who you are. You don't have to go to a lab. You don't have to get, you know, draw blood or anything. 23andMe's genetic analysis couldn't be easier. Go to 23andme.com/twit, sign up. They'll send you a kit, little tiny vial inside there, and all you have to do is spit in it. Your spit has enough DNA, I guess, for them to do the analysis. It's kind of cool. You seal it up, put it in the package, mail it back to them within 6 to 8 weeks. You go to the website 23andMe. I should show you mine. It's amazing all the stuff you find out about yourself. Everything from, your where you came from, where your people come from around the world. I'm mostly European, but, you know, it's kind of cool. I'm 4% Neanderthal, which actually is low. We didn't even know that there was any Neanderthal genes in humans until a few years ago. That's one of the things I like about 23andMe. I've been a member. I did this years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, when they first started. And at that time, it was unknown that humans, Homo sapiens, had crossbred with Neanderthals. We thought the humans killed off the Neanderthals, that they were different species, they couldn't interbreed. But a few years ago, some Neanderthal bones were found. They analyzed the DNA, and now they can find the commonality in your DNA. And when I first did 23andMe, they didn't have this report. And that's one of the things I like about it. This is the gift that keeps on giving. When you do the analysis, check back all the time. They're always learning more. And all of a sudden, they said, hey, we now can tell how much Neanderthal you have. 4%, it turns out. That's surprising, right? I mean, that's the kind of, it's amazing. Where did your people come from? It may not be where you think. You can also find out genetic traits, like are you more disposed to like coffee than others? Things like that. It's kind of interesting. In fact, it's so interesting that we're going to give this to our parents this Christmas. It's a great gift. Because then their information plus our information will add, it'll make it even. So one of the things you can see with 23andMe is your paternal haplogroup and your maternal haplogroup. But then if you have their actual analysis, it more and more, you know, you learn more and more. It's fascinating.
It's my favorite subject. Me. 23andMe. It's all about me or you if you do it. I want you to try it. 23andMe. It's easy, it's fast, and it's fascinating. If you've got kids, what a great way for them to learn about genetics and DNA. This is their future. This is the next big thing. And you can get started today. 23andme.com/twit to discover where your DNA comes from and what it says about you. So much fun. 23andme.com/twit. What will be your DNA destination? Ooh.
Welcome back to The Tech Guy. I'm Rich DeMuro, filling in today for Leo Laporte, who's vacationing. Thanks so much for joining me today. We're talking tech, having a little fun, talking about iPhone, talking about Android, talking about contacts, all kinds of good stuff. TechGuyLabs.com is the website if you want to see something that we talked about or hear it again or kind of get some notes that we talked about for a question. The phone number, if you want to reach me, is 8888-ASK-LEO, 8888-ASK-LEO. And we're going to go right now to Armando in West Covina, California. Armando, you're on with Rich. How you doing?
Thank you for letting me talk to you. So basically, I have an iPhone. It's my second one. It's the 6 Plus. I bought it in 14. And, one of my coworkers, who's a doctor, he's into tech, he's telling me to get the 8. He didn't upgrade to the 10. And then I had a patient that I was taking care of. He said, just wait a month and get the 10. So I'm kind of tossed. The 5 that I have, or the 6 Plus that I have, the camera doesn't really, my wife's got a 6S Plus, and that's like a way big step up. I don't do a lot of pictures. I do more apps, and I play golf with it, so I use a couple golf apps. I do some banking, my bank apps on there. So I do more apps than anything. But when I do camera, I know that my camera is very...
It's not as good. It's not as good. It's because your wife has the 6S. You've got the 6 Plus. You're talking 6 Plus is, two generations ago at this point.
Three generations.
Three if you count the 10, I guess. So here's the deal. So when it comes to iPhone 10, you really have to think about it this way. The iPhone 10 is a first generation product. So it's an amazing device, but it's first gen. And what we've seen in the past with Apple with first-gen products is that, yeah, they're amazing, like the first iPad, but think about the first iPad at this point, all the things it didn't have, how thick it was. The next one was like half the thickness and, the screen and just everything. Personally, I think that the 8 is a better deal for you right now, because unless you need that 10, unless there's a reason, a use case scenario for that 10, I don't really see it as your next phone. The 10 has that screen that's just beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's OLED. So, you're talking, you're going to be able to see it out on the golf course a lot better. I will give you that. But other than that, the cameras are nearly identical to the 8. The only difference is that on the 10, you get dual cameras that are both optical. They're both stabilized optically, which means that when you kind of zoom in, pictures are going to look a little bit better. That's not a huge deal. It's not a reason to spend $300 more. But what you're not getting is a phone that's been proven. And you're going to have to figure out, a whole new way of operating this phone. You may not like the Face ID. You may not like having to swipe up to figure out your apps, and you don't have that home button anymore. These are the things that you don't get. And whereas with the 8, if you go with that, it's going to be very familiar. You're going to be able to figure it out the first day you have it, because it's just like the phone that you have, except it's going to take better pictures, and it's going to be way, way faster. So if you're talking about you're using apps a lot, the apps on the 8 are going to just speed by compared to the apps on the 6 that you have right now. The 8 and the 10 have that new A11 Bionic. And this is what I love about these companies, especially Apple, when they name these things, the Bionic chip. Who knows what the A11 is? You know what I mean? We don't know what that means. But Bionic, we all know. That sounds amazing. Come on. I say save the $300. Here's the other thing. When I talk to people and they ask me, should I upgrade to something? a lot of people, when it came time for HDTV, you know, they're like, oh, should I go with this or that? Or I'm like, well, what are you upgrading from? It turns out they're upgrading from a 26-inch tube TV. This was, you know, a couple of years ago. And it's like, look, you don't need the absolute top-of-the-line HDTV right now because you're going from a 26-inch tube TV. Anything's going to look good. So this is like you, Armando. Anything's going to be better than what you have right now. And when it comes to the 10 versus the 8, I think you're going to be perfectly happy with the 8. And I don't think it's going to be a deal breaker for you. I think you're going to like that. So, all right. Hope that answers your question. Here's one thing I love about the Apple stuff. You know, you have these new devices and they're great. But my favorite part of every Apple event, okay, is when Apple tells you how terrible, or not just Apple. Actually, I go to a lot of these tech events, you know, the Googles of the world, the Apple, the Samsung. And there's one part of the event I absolutely just love. And that is when they tell you how terrible last year's device was. Because now they're comparing it against the new device. So they tell you all the little things that weren't so good about the last one. Oh, the speakers, they're 25% louder. The processor. Oh, that one was, that was terrible. This one is 40% faster. Oh, the screen. You couldn't even see that last screen. This one is 30% brighter. Oh, the cores on the processor. We didn't even use all those. We couldn't even fire them all at the same time. Now we can. It's all the stuff that you didn't really know, but now you sit there and you're watching. You're like, oh, okay, that last one wasn't as good as I thought. But the reality is you can't predict the future. We don't know what these companies are going to come up with in the future. So at the time these devices are launched, they actually are good. And so, you know, I just always find that so funny. I love that slide when they say, here's how much better it is. All right, Mike in Palm Springs. You're on
hey,
with Rich.
How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Well, you know, I'm sure you get a few of these questions. I'm 73 years old. I have a Dell at my office. I'm not very good at the computer, but, you know, I do their contracts. So if I have trouble, I call them and they help me. So, but here's my question. My question is, I'm getting involved in something where I have to show some slides and stuff like that, and I want a laptop. And so I just peeked online, and they had some thin laptops and this thing called 2-in-1, and I'm, you know, like I said, 73, not that literate for computers, and I don't know what to do. Some advice of, you know, not buying the top end because I don't need all the bells and whistles.
And what are you trying to do on this computer? You said you're going to do some presentations. Are you doing that on the screen?
Yes.
Okay, so a 2-in-1 actually might be your best bet because you can...
I don't know what is a 2-in-1?
So a 2-in-1, you know how you have a laptop, okay? So you've got your laptop, It's got the screen, it's got the keyboard. Well, you open up the screen and you can type on it, but the 2-in-1, there's two different ways. Basically, you can bend that screen all the way back, so it kind of... it's like imagine folding a piece of paper in half and then standing it, You know? So you can have basically... your presentation playing on the flip side of that computer, and someone can see that presentation while you control it from the other side, or your computer just kind of stands up in a nice way where it's kind of like a tent. And I think that would be perfect for your situation. So I think the computer that is widely regarded as sort of one of the best in this aspect is the Lenovo Yoga. And I think that's a really nice computer. It keeps, you know, people like them. I've played with them over the years. They're kind of like the originator. What's that?
Is there a Dell that would be capable?
I'm sure Dell has 2-in-1s as well. You know, they have, I'm not sure of the exact model name, but I think you just search Dell 2-in-1. If you like the Dells, they can do the same thing. And I think, you know.
When this guy came to give the presentation, he had this little thing he set by it. And I said, oh, what's that? He said, it's a Wi-Fi finder or something, and he pays $10 for it.
Yeah. I mean, you can go on Amazon. You're talking about a little clicker remote for the slides to advance them?
No. I can get that.
Oh, Wi-Fi hotspot.
Yeah. See, that's how much I know about them.
Yeah, Wi-Fi hotspot. I've got one. Fantastic device. You basically go into AT&T, Verizon, whoever your service provider is. Say I want a mobile hotspot, and you pay them a couple bucks a month to add it onto your plan, and you can have instant Wi-Fi anywhere. It's really handy. I love mine. I use it every single day. TechGuyLabs.com, 888-88-ASK-LEO. I'm Rich DeMuro. I'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Tech Guy. I'm Rich DeMuro, filling in today for Leo Laporte. Thanks so much for joining me. We're talking tech, answering your questions, and doing stuff on the website, techguylabs.com. The phone number to call in, 8888-ASK-LEO. I'm Rich DeMuro. I'm the tech reporter for KTLA in Los Angeles, just hanging out here today and filling in for Leo, having a blast, taking your questions and talking tech. So many things happened this week. I thought this was really crazy. Volvo. Basically, they have a new program where literally their headline is that owning a new Volvo will be as hassle-free as owning a mobile phone. That's the new reality. So everyone, so many people now buying their phones on these Apple plans or whatever, just a monthly plan from their provider that you pay one monthly fee. And you just know people love set fees. You know, they love like knowing here's how much I'm paying for this. And, you know, the amount doesn't necessarily matter. It's knowing that that's the amount that really matters. That's what we have come to. So for me, you know, I get my bill. I can't stand when my cell phone bill is like out of whack. You know what I mean? It's like 1 month it's this, 1 month it's that. And you're like, no, I just want the same amount every month. So I try not to ever make any changes because I know I'm going to get that crazy prorated bill once, you know, every couple of whenever. And it's not about the amount. It's really about like, I just like knowing here's how much it costs me. So now Volvo apparently has taken this to the next step. They are now going to basically, it's not even called leasing you a car. It's, I don't even know what they're calling it. It's just called Care by Volvo. And it's a, it's a subscription car. Okay. So you basically pay them a fee every month and they will take care of everything. Including they have a digital concierge service that comes with a car. They will fuel it up, they'll clean it, they'll pick it up for service, and they'll even deliver you the car. So all you have to do is go on their website, order your car, and in this case, it's the XC40, which is looks like a little kind of mini SUV. And you can also, that's it, they just deliver it to you, and you just pay, and that's it. When you want a new one, you just get the new one after your, it's not even a lease. And they're saying, well, okay, how's it different than a lease? Well, they're saying lease doesn't come with all those digital concierge things. You know, you got to still bring it into the dealership to, you know, to get the oil changed or whatever. No down payments. You don't have to worry about insurances, taxes, service fees. You literally just order it online and drive away in a new Volvo. I mean, how crazy is this? There's also a digital key. So you can share your car with friends and family just by sending them a digital key from your phone. The XC40 was launched in Milan this week. It's the first model that they'll be offering this on. But how crazy is that? I mean, I kind of, it's weird because I'm not a car guy. You know, I don't care about my car. I like to drive a car that works because I drove a car for so long that didn't work. So I like having a car where everything functions properly. That's nice. But I don't really care. I'm not sitting there, you know, like I have to have the best car or the craziest car. The only thing I wanted in my new car was Android Auto and Apple CarPlay. That was my only request. And I got that. And I love it. But the reality is I sit there and I say, well, why am I making this big payment or why am I paying for this car that I don't really care about? You know, it's like everything else in life that we have, it's, you know, you kind of like we're in this world now where I get an Uber on demand. I it's just all these things that you can do without really having to do them. And I guess people want to do that with their car, even in a bigger way than leasing, because it sounds like leasing, but it's a subscription. Let's see. Everything's involved. That's crazy. The care is included. It says insurance, but I don't know if insurance is really included, but there's a national price. You don't even have to negotiate. So there's no negotiation for the price of this car. So that's the other part. I mean, I hate negotiating for cars. How terrible is that process? You go in there. I mean, everyone who walks out of a car dealership pays a different price for a car. To me, that's insane as a tech guy. To me, it's like I want to order things online. I go on Amazon and it's the same price for me. Now, the funny thing is Amazon does change their prices pretty often, but you don't necessarily know about it. But it's just crazy to me that you can walk in and because you're not a good negotiator, you don't get the best price. So I find that strange. I don't like it. I've used other websites, you know, that help you get the price on the car. But the reality is, even after using some of these websites, like TrueCar or, you know, whatever they have online nowadays, you can still get a cheaper price. And I'm like, wait a second, I thought this was the price. No, we can actually do better than that price. So they're even holding back on those prices. So I find that process insane. I think that's why a lot of people like leasing, too, because they see these prices on TV. And then next thing you know, you know, they go in there and they say, I want that price. But then you even go in there and they say, oh, that doesn't include this. By the way, once you include all this stuff, it's going to cost this amount. So Volvo is trying to make that all easy, where you go online and literally just pick out the car, and that's it. You get the price that they say, and you're subscribed to a car. So we'll see. I don't know if this is coming to the U.S. anytime soon. Right now, I think it's starting in Europe. But when this comes to the U.S., I think it will be popular. People like it. People just like to have the hands-off approach to things. Don't have to think about the car. All right. I thought this, let's take another call here. We have Angelo from Rancho Cucamonga. Angelo, you're on with Rich.
Hey, Rich. Good day. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How's the show sounding to you? Because I'm doing a million things at once here, so I have no idea if I'm doing a good job.
No, you're doing great.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thanks for being on.
You're welcome. I need advice on record players that I can use to play records and digitally download the data to my computer. I know that there's stuff on Amazon, eBay, and all the websites, but I'm getting overwhelmed by data, because my reason for this is my mom has a bunch of records in her collection. Not a huge collection, but I think it's a nice collection, because I've Googled some of these groups, these musicians, and I cannot find any trace of them whatsoever. And the records are out of print, obviously, and they're beautiful pressings, and my mom hasn't listened to them for like 40 years. And I wanted to give her a gift of all this music on a USB drive, so she can play in her car or at home. And it's a project of mine. And some of the record players, I get it, they're like really cheap, and some of them are overwhelmingly expensive, and it just goes over my head because I don't know how to choose properly.
Okay, so you want to basically convert these records into a digital product that you can put on a flash drive, or maybe, you know, you could even give her like a little iPod Touch with these things loaded up on them, if they still even sell those. So the big company, I mean, there's a million of these out there. I'm sure you can search on Amazon and find a bazillion of these devices. The ones that I've tried and the ones that I see over and over in a big way is from a company called Ion, I-O-N, ionaudio.com, and they have a bazillion of these things, and basically they're turntables that you can use as a turntable, but they also can have an audio out to a computer, or you can just literally do it right to a flash drive. They have a bunch of different models that do different things. So I think that's the company to look at, see which ones are highly regarded in that aspect of, you know, you don't need to spend that much. I mean, this is not the craziest technology out there. You're literally just recording analog to digital. It's not that big of a deal. And I do think the only thing you need to know is that this all happens in real time, obviously, because, you know, it's spinning the record. It's kind of like converting VHS to digital. You got to do it in real time. So hopefully, Angelo, that answers your question. And that's what a great son. What a great gift for your mom. She is going to love that. I mean, to hear these things after 40 years of not listening to them. Oh, my gosh. I mean, the sound of a song after many years, it just brings back all those memories. She's going to love it. Up next on The Tech Guy is Johnny Jett. We're going to talk all things travel with Johnny Jett on The Tech Guy. I'm Rich DeMuro, and we'll be back in just a little bit. Welcome back to The Tech Guy. I'm Rich DeMuro, hanging out with you. And, man, we have a good guest right now, Johnny Jett. I love travel. Travel and tech, I feel like, just goes hand in hand. You know, if you're into tech, you know, you love traveling with the latest gadgets, you know, noise-canceling headphones, the iPads of the world, the tablets, the computers, the laptops. I mean, when I bring my bag, you should see the TSA people going through it. They're just like, dude, what is all this stuff? Like, I'm always wondering, like, what they think of me, because I have at least three phones, a couple of tablets, laptops, all this stuff. So Johnny Jett, he has a website, johnnyjett.com. He travels more than I do, obviously. He teaches you how to travel like a rock star or on a budget. And he, of course, is always on The Tech Guy. So, Johnny, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm in Toronto. I'm just my wife's from here, so we come here often. And I was here for a week, and then I flew back to L.A. to go see my dad and go to the Emmys. And now I'm back here, and we're about to get ready for another big trip.
Man, you're always traveling, always on the go. Now, are you loyal to one airline, or do you just you kind of go to various airlines?
So my best advice for people is, you know, if you fly over 100,000 miles a year, then stick to one airline. But if you don't, do not be loyal. Go to whatever's cheaper, whatever will give you, whatever will get you there the quickest, or whatever has the most comfortable plane. You know, I always try and fly wide bodies. I like those a lot better than the narrow bodies. And a wide body is, you know, one with two aisles instead of one.
But do they do that domestically as much or no? Not really. Huh?
You can find it. So, you know, I fly LA to Dallas once in a while, and you can find a wide body on American. So I flew a 787-900 last week. And it makes a real big difference when you're flying a bigger plane, especially if you have elite status and you can get upgraded to at least premium economy for free. But I'm flying to Europe next week, and on the way back, it's a 757, which is a single aisle. And I'm like, I'm not looking forward to that.
For Europe. I love how you said upgraded to premium economy, which, by the way, used to be called regular economy. I mean, here's the thing about these airlines, which cracks me up, because I just had this experience with my in-laws when they were coming out, and they booked the basic economy by accident, or they didn't even know, you know, whatever. And I mean, I looked at this thing, and the restrictions, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So yeah. The ticket prices didn't go down. They just, you know, basically took away more amenities, and it's just crazy. And it's just
it's a big scam.
Yeah,
what it is.
I agree. It is a scam, because the average person who's flying once in a while doesn't really know about it, and
they don't pay attention to read, because the airlines do a pretty good job of warning people, saying, look,
yes,
you do not get early boarding. You're going to board last. You're not going to be able to bring a carry-on onto the plane. People think you at least bring a bag,
right,
that'll go over the overhead bin. But now they show up with a bag and they get charged at the gate. They'll charge, but now they charge a $25 extra fee.
It used to be kind of like a sneaky way of getting a free bag. I've noticed a lot of people would do that. They would bring their bag and be like, oh, it doesn't fit here. Sure, go ahead and gate check it. Nope, not so much anymore. They'll still get you for that $25 fee nowadays.
Well, you still can get by if you're on a regular fare, but if you're on that basic economy fare, not only do they charge you for the $25 for the baggage and $35 for your second bag, but they'll charge you a gate fee.
Just to
do that.
Oh wow!
If you're on these basic economy fare, so that's why you really have to read whatever fare you're buying. Read all the restrictions, and also
They're going to start charging you just to scan your phone at when you go on the plane. They're going to be like, if you want us to scan it, that's $5, by the way.
Well, some airlines do charge a boarding pass to print your boarding pass off at the airport.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
So you got to – when you buy a ticket these days, you have to realize that everything is a la carte, and just find out exactly what you're going for. So to answer your question, I recommend not choosing one airline unless you fly a lot. And if you do, then stick to one airline, because you get perks. And that's what I do. I get upgraded almost every time I fly.
Well, you're Johnny Jet. You better with that name. Come on.
No kidding.
It's not Johnny Last Row. I mean, that would be a terrible name for a blog, right? The tip that you shared, bring a snack. This is one I love, because on your website, johnnyjet.com, you always share a tip. And I love this one, because it's kind of like a no-brainer tip. You're like, you know, I'll be fine. I've got a 6-hour flight or a 1-hour flight. But tell me why you think it's so important to bring a snack.
Well, you got to bring a snack. There's a few reasons. Number one, because you never know if the plane's going to be delayed, or so you're going to be sitting on the runway and the flight attendants don't have food. And that's one reason. Another reason, by the way, is because sometimes the catering, they don't load the planes with the food. They forget. They don't have time. Or they only load a certain amount of snacks, thinking that only 10 people are going to buy it. And by the time they get to the fourth row out of like 30 rows on a plane, they're out of food. And they say, sorry, we don't have it. And I've seen that happen a lot. So that's why I'm always telling people to make sure you bring food. And I always bring a water, too.
Yeah. Okay. So now, oh, wow. You led perfectly into the story I want to tell real quick, because I flew up to San Francisco earlier this week and for a meeting. And I knew I was flying out of this airport that I was only going to be there for, you know, a couple hours. So I was flying there that morning and then flying back in the afternoon. But I knew, you know, I'd get hammered at the airport for that water, the bottled water fee, it was $3.50, I know, for like a little 16-ounce water. I'm like, I am not paying that, okay? And it's just one day, so it's easy. So I brought my own little water bottle, okay, which I filled up at the water fountain. They didn't have one of those nice dispensers that you see sometimes, right, that you can fill up. So it was just a water fountain. Filled it up, you know, saved $3, tweeted about it, was so proud of myself for saving the $3.50. Even though it was on expense report, didn't really matter, but I still, it's the principle, right?
$3.50
for 16 ounces of water. So this is the best part. As I'm coming back later that afternoon, I forget about the water bottle in my bag. Oh. And I get dinged by TSA. Not only do they have to escort me out of the screening area, I didn't know where they were leading me. We had to go back out around. I had to dump my water out and then come back through security. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So after all that, I was so proud. And I had all these comments on Facebook saying, way to go, Rich, save that money. And it totally ended up messing me up later. All right. So that's my funny story. But let's hear your info. I want to hear a website. Do you have a website for me or like a good app to download?
I do. Actually, a good one is weatherbase.com. So if people are always asking me, how's the weather in Hawaii in December? Or how is Costa Rica in June? And I'm like, I'm not a meteorologist. So I always look at this website to find out what the long-term forecast is, to let people know what the chances are it's going to rain, because, a lot of people do not like it when it rains on their vacation. I actually like it when it rains, but
really?
So this website gives you a lot of information, like, the average highs, lows, how much precipitation to expect. So, I mean, obviously they can't guarantee the weather, but you have a good idea of what the weather is going to be like. And this helps. This is really helpful when you're planning long term.
Mm, yeah. Like if you're planning to go somewhere, we had this problem with our honeymoon many, many years ago because the month that we got married was the worst weather in every single place. And
Where'd you go?
We ended up going to Hawaii, which you never have to worry about the weather when you go to Hawaii. But it was just, it was a little bit frustrating because literally everywhere you went, it was like, no, this is too rainy. This is too hurricaney. This is too this. So I love this website, weatherbase.com. And it's very specific. I mean, I'm looking at it here. This is not your typical weather website. This is hardcore kind of weather data.
Almost 42,000 cities worldwide. So even if you type in Hawaii, they're not just going to give you Hawaii. They're going to ask you exactly where they are. They give you 200 different locations in Hawaii. So it really drills down because, Hawaii has so many different what's the word I'm looking for?
Microclimates?
Yes, microclimates.
The only location I need is at the bar with a fruity drink in Hawaii. I don't care what the weather is.
Yeah, with a lava flow.
Very lava flow. That's exactly right. I didn't even know about that until I went to Hawaii. And do you have an app these days that you really love?
Yeah, you know what? We don't have a lot of time, but there's one app that I think I mentioned once before a long time ago. It's called Get Free Bird. So if you're ever going somewhere for business or you really have to be there, so it's basically like a cheap insurance tool. I think it's $34 for a round trip ticket, $19 for one way. But if your flight gets severely delayed or canceled for whatever reason, these guys will text you and they'll say, okay, your flight's delayed, canceled, whatever. Here are your three options. Do you want them? And you can tap whichever one you want, and then they will then just rebook you, and you do not have to pay for the rebook.
Ooh,
if you don't
nice.
Have this, to buy another ticket on another airline could be $2,000.
Oh, so
this is an incredible insurance policy for last-minute travel.
GetFreeBird.com, JohnnyJet.com. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Rich DeMuro. We'll be back with your calls just after this. Rich DeMuro here with you on The Tech Guy. We're talking tech, taking your phone calls at 888-ASK-LEO. 888-ASK-LEO. TechGuyLabs.com is the website. Thanks so much for listening and joining me today. If you're wondering where Leo is, he's on vacation, so I'm the guy that's filling in, having a great time talking tech. I'm a tech reporter in Los Angeles, and my segment is on TV in a bunch of different places. So who knows? You may have seen it, and you might be thinking, wow, that's cool. Well, we are getting through some of the phone calls here. Let's just go straight to Todd in Temecula. Todd, you're on with Rich.
Hey, Rich. I got a question. I use my Microsoft Surface Pro, which I just bought. I guess it's the new 5, but they don't call it that. And I use it in my business. Occasionally, I do need mobile ability, but it does not come with an option for LTE cellular. So I wanted your recommendation, I guess, the pros and cons of, you mentioned a couple callers back here. I guess Verizon calls it a jetpack, but I guess it's just basically a mobile Wi-Fi spot.
Yeah.
Add to your plan.
Yeah, a hotspot.
Or can I use, hotspot, versus just my iPhone and turning that into a hotspot, then I don't have to pay for another device. I just use my data on my cell plan because my phone's always with me.
Well, what kind of plan do you have on your iPhone? Who are you with?
I'm with Verizon. I have, I think it's 30 gigs or something like that. It's enough. I never run out. But I can always change it to unlimited for not that much more. But I just don't want to lose data. I don't want to lose the ability to make phone calls if I'm on the Surface at the same time. So I don't know how all that works. And, you know, you mentioned the jetpack or something like that. I just don't want to carry another device, though, because I am occasionally traveling. And like you said, I mean, I go and, you know, it's like your bag is full of stuff and TSA, you know, arrest you, basically. So I want to carry as least amount as possible. That's why I bought the Surface, because it does everything.
This man has two iPads and a mobile hotspot. Arrest him, please. No, you won't get arrested, but it is funny to carry it all around. To me, it's more of charging everything. When I get back to my hotel room, I'm literally setting up, like, the most intricate charging network ever, where I have to find, a place to plug everything in. That's the toughest part. So here's the deal. Number one, the difference between the mobile hotspot on your phone and your and having a dedicated hotspot, I have both. I personally favor my dedicated hotspot for several reasons. So if you're relying on this regularly, it's way easier to have the dedicated hotspot. It makes life easier. It's simpler. It's its own thing. You charge it up. The battery lasts a really long time. And it's kind of like it's separating the two things. So I get that you have your phone with you all of the time and it's convenient. And that could definitely be maybe the way you start out, but it uses your battery, number one. So you're going to be going through your battery pretty fast. And then, of course, you have to connect your phone, which you know, on your device, on an iPhone to a Windows laptop, you will have to turn on the mobile hotspot and kind of fire that up and then go on your computer and, you know, it'll find it after the first time, but you log in. If you have a MacBook, it actually is a little bit easier because it kind of talks to your iPhone and it says, hey, do you want to link up? And you can do it in like a second. So it's just one more step basically on your Windows setup. Like I said, I favor that. The devices are not expensive. The jetpacks, you know, they're really, it's a razor blade model where they're selling you the jetpack for a nominal price, maybe $100, something like that, maybe even $50, $49.99, whatever, maybe even free, depending on the model. But then you pay monthly on your plan. And the plan, you basically, it depends on the plan you have. Now, that's the other part. Your plan right now, Todd, may not have the hotspot functionality on it built in. A lot of these plans back in the day did not. Now we're seeing the hotspot is a very big delineation because some of the plans have them, the unlimited plans, now they do, but some of them are capped at a certain speed, so you don't get the full speed, and you definitely don't want to be on a slow connection. So for right now, for instance, for Verizon on their regular plan, which is like their regular unlimited plan, you're throttled to a very slow speed on their hotspot, which is not good. If you have, you know, you pay 10 extra bucks a month, I think it is, and it's a much faster speed. So you want to be on the lookout for that. Anytime you're buying these plans, you know, if you're looking at any plan that's unlimited, you have to see what's included with the plan. So a lot of times these providers are saying unlimited, but they're not really unlimited. So they play little games, especially now with the mobile hotspot part of it. So the other day, I actually went to use my mobile hotspot on my phone, and it wasn't working. And I recently changed plans, and sure enough, they had switched me to an unlimited plan that was sort of throttled, which means all the speeds are really low, and hotspot was not included. So I had to change my plan to the better plan and get the hotspot. And then you only get a certain amount of gigabytes every month. So on your plan, you may get just 10 gigs, which may be enough for you, depending on what you're doing. So I think the dedicated hotspot, if you're using it for business, I think the hotspot that's dedicated is going to be the way to go because it's easier to kind of manage. It's independent of your battery on your phone. You get more battery life. You can see right on the device how much data you're using, so you kind of know if you're reaching your limits. For all those reasons, I like those better. So you can go right into Verizon and just ask them, hey, you know, can you help me out with the hotspot here? I think you're going to be better off, especially like you said, you're doing it for business, Todd. So I really hope that helps you. Thanks. Thanks so much for calling in on The Tech Guy. Phone number is 888-ASK-LEO, 888-827-5536, 1-888-827-5536. That should be a free call from anywhere in the U.S. So, hotspots. This is funny because the more gadgets we have, the more kind of hotspot, the more connectivity we need. I've got an Apple Watch now that has a cellular connection. I was trying to set that up, and sure enough, I've got a call to get that set up. But I mean, it's crazy. It's like everything you get nowadays has some sort of cellular connection. Everything from home video cameras, my iPad, I love. That's one feature I love. I always recommend when you get an iPad to get the cellular if you travel at all, because it really is handy. It's just so nice not to have to connect anything. It really makes sense. I thought this was funny. This is in the news. I got to talk about this because we are getting, you know, everything is delivery nowadays. You can get everything delivered. You know, you got Postmates. We did that the other night. You get whatever you want delivered to your house via Postmates. We get Amazon Prime Now. What else? We get all kinds of stuff delivered to the house. And it just always makes me sad because someone has to literally grab my razor blades and basketball that I randomly ordered and bring it to my house within 2 hours or a case of water. And I always find that crazy. But, you know, the reality is this is the economy we live in, and it puts people, it gives people jobs. You know, you tip them when you do Amazon Prime Now, at least, you know, they offer a tip right in the app and it says, hey, make sure you tip this person. Now you can tip people that are on Lyft and Uber. So, I mean, everyone's making out. Look, people don't do these things if they don't have to or want to. So I guess it's a good thing. But this just cracks me up. Walmart is taking delivery to the next level, okay? They are going to deliver food to your refrigerator. So how crazy is that? They deliver the packages to your inside your home. Okay, so they announced they're testing a new service that if you have this August smart home device, like a doorbell and security camera and a lock, the person will get access to your home to put your packages inside your house. So no longer will they leave them on your doorstep. They will actually go inside your house and put the packages away. And to take it a step further, if you get a frozen food or a refrigerated food, they will put that in your refrigerator or your freezer. How crazy is this concept? Is this really what it's coming to now? It makes sense. I mean, August is a smart lock company, so they can give the person one-time access to your house. And, you know, they can get them in that way and obviously not have them come in after that. But it takes a lot of trust to let some random person into your house to deliver this stuff. I assume they're vetted, but who knows? I mean, I assume they're vetted. I don't think Walmart would do this. They get a one-time passcode to enter the customer's house. They put the cold and frozen groceries away if need be, and then they skedaddle. I mean, could it be? I could see the Saturday Night Live skit right now. You're in front of the fireplace with your wife, your significant other, you're having a glass of wine, you know, you got Netflix on, whatever. And all of a sudden the door opens, front door opens, and it's, you know, Jim, the delivery guy with your Walmart stuff. Just make it. Don't mind me here. I'm just coming into your kitchen to put your groceries away. I mean, it just sounds like something that would be a parody skit. But this is the reality we're in. We're trying all kinds of different things. And, you know, it just takes it a step further. These guys don't even ring the doorbell anymore half the time when they deliver stuff to my house. It used to be that, you know, FedEx and UPS would actually ring the doorbell and you knew you had a package. Now they don't even do that. The other day I got my delivery from Amazon and I didn't get a doorbell ring. I was in my office. I just got a text with a picture of my package at my front door. And it said, hey, your package has been delivered. Crazy. You can talk about anything you want here on the Tech Guy. 888-8-ASK-LEO. 888-8-ASK-LEO is the phone number if you want to get in. We've got phone lines open. You can talk tech. Tell me your crazy delivery story, whatever you want. I'm Rich DeMuro, and we'll take more of your calls after this. And now, here's a special message from Leo himself.
I am really excited. I found a new way to share my photographs with family and friends and in our house. You know, one of the things about it's my hobby, photography. I think you know that. I'm kind of obsessed. Lisa, my wife, loves it too. And when we travel, we take a lot of pictures. The problem is, you know, and you probably experienced this, at least now it's digital. It used to be all your pictures would be in a shoebox in the closet. You never see them again. Or maybe, like in my family, you have a slide carousel, and like once a year, maybe you have a slideshow. And that's it. Well, it's kind of the same. We have shoeboxes, but they're digital shoeboxes. We stuff our photos in Apple Photos or Google Photos, and that's it. They're there, but, you know, do you ever look at them again? Maybe you print a book, but then it's on the coffee table. You got to try this. It is a wonderful way to decorate your home, your bedroom, your office with some of your best images. And when you're going to print them, don't print them on paper. Print them on glass with Fracture. Fracture is awesome. They're in Gainesville, Florida. They use recycled glass, the U.S. source materials, the carbon neutral factory, so you can feel good about it. But they print right on the glass. And it does something that makes the photo come alive. It's beautiful. The colors are richer and deeper. The contrast is great. I've done a lot of black and white monochrome pictures too, and it looks fantastic. Print them in a variety of sizes. If you've got, I had a picture that I took the last trip that I of a seal and a car. It was beautiful, and I love that picture. So I printed it huge. It's poster size, giant, and it looks so good. Easy to hang, too. Fracture has a great way of sending these pictures in a box without a lot of packing material, but very secure, very safe. And then when it comes, it has the backing already on it, ready to hang. They even have a little hole in the back for you to hang, and they give you the mounting equipment, you know, the screw that you need to do that. Could not be easier. It's a great gift, too, as we get ready for the holidays. A gift to grandparents of the kids or of the family to the I mean, it's just fantastic. Fracture comes with, of course, a 60-day happiness guarantee. So, you know, if you don't love your order, they'll make it good. It comes perfectly packaged, but if anything should happen to it, of course, they'll take care of you. It's a great company, really nice people. And, boy, do they have a product that is, for anybody who loves photography, the best way to decorate your home. You know, why put up, you know, the Van Gogh print when you could put up one of yours? FractureMe.com/podcast. That's the website, and you'll get 10% off your first order. But when you do it, would you please select the tech guy so they know where you saw it or heard it? FractureMe.com/podcast. Check the box next to the tech guy and get 10% off your first order. Fracture is fantastic. You're going to love it.
Thanks, Leo. Man, you guys in the chat room having a great time today. Rich DeMiro with you on the back end here. So we're not on the radio right now, or at least we shouldn't be. But thanks so much for, you know, chatting up, having fun with this stuff. Everyone enjoying the show so far? Don't answer that. You don't have to. Don't answer it now. Don't tell me now while I'm still going on. You tell me after the show. All right, let's see. We got some calls coming in. Oh, we got a call from New Jersey. A lot of callers from LA. Hey, Rich, looking at the jetpack hotspots on Verizon. Love you, Rich. Oh, I love you too. Thanks. Rich, you're doing very well. Oh, thank you. Guys are so kind. I was expecting an angry chat room. Actually, very good. See, yeah, see, I like that. Thank you. But yeah, I was expecting, you know, it's like a anytime someone's different, of course, it's always tough. You know, it's like your favorite person is being, you know, someone else is doing the job of them. It's always strange. It's always a weird thing. So thank you for accepting me. I appreciate it. And this is an amazing personal fun for me because obviously Leo, such a legend. And to be able to do this is so fun. So, love it. Oh, angry people get kicked out. Oh, cool. So, everyone in here, if you haven't said that I'm bad, if you say I'm bad, then you just get kicked out. I love that. Let's just keep it that way. That's a good way. See, that's the way the world should be. You know, if you say something mean, you're just done. Goodbye. Yeah, I don't have to talk to you. I guess people do that on, like, Instagram and stuff. What's it called? I guess Instagram, you know, they have this new algorithm that doesn't show you like necessarily like the negative stuff people are saying about your photos. I know, isn't that crazy? So you may not know, but people are saying the mean things about your photo and you can't even see it. So yeah, don't mute me. Don't mute me, bro. Murray on travel. And by the way, I love that you guys are from all over the place. You know, I'm in LA. I do my segment in various places. Oh, the radio? Yeah, just to keep in the background. Good call. Yeah, I love that you guys are from all over the place. It's like the TSA. The mods make us dump any liquids before entering. So true. It's like, look, if you don't have something nice to say about Rich, we're gonna have to bump you out. yeah, it's fun. Seal Beach. Yeah, I'm from New Jersey, so, you know, you've probably noticed that I say button. People always get on me for that, okay? I know. I'm from New Jersey. When I grew up, I had to go to speech forever because I didn't speak right. But B, I said every word wrong because I grew up in Jersey. I never knew that a draw was actually a drawer. I mean, come on. What's the other thing I said? I said Mira, Florida. I still can't say Florida right. I always say Florida. And I worked for this one company one time where they had to track stuff and, you know, for TV. And it was like, no, it's Florida. I'm like, what do you mean? Florida. North Jersey, right outside New York, like kind of by Montclair. I'm worried that if the merger goes through, you don't worry about stuff we can't control. Let's not worry about that. How do you pronounce Passaic, New Jersey? Oh, that's interesting. So I used to say Passaic, but I think it's more like Passaic. Passaic. See, everything I say, coffee, I used to say coffee, I used to say water. But now, you know, oh, you live in Nutley. Oh, look at that. Or you lived in Nutley. Very cool. My grandma lived in Nutley. What a great name, Nutley. I live in Nutley. Do you say California? California? Passaic. Yeah, that's about right. Oregon, I used to say Oregon. Piscataway. Oh, nice. Look at you. You guys have got some Jersey folks in the house. Bon Jovi or Springsteen? Ooh, Bon Jovi, I think. But I don't want to alienate 50% of the world. Do you get... Yeah, basically, I went to USC in Los Angeles, and all... They fixed me up. Here we go.
Live.
Welcome back to The Tech Guy. Rich DeMiro hanging out with you, enjoying all the calls we've gotten at 8888-ASK-LEO. TechGuyLabs.com is the website to go to. I am having a blast. I can't believe how fast the time has gone today on The Tech Guy Show. Filling in for Leo Laporte. He's on vacation enjoying his time off. And Leo does a fantastic job here, so he deserves some time off. And here I am. Let's just get right to the calls because we have so many of them. Let's go to, let's see here. Oh my gosh, we have so many. Let's go to Elvis in L.A. Elvis, you're on with Rich.
It's with an A, Elvis, but yes, Rich.
Elvis. I was going to say, Elvis is a cool name, but Elvis is great. That's a cool name too. All right, what's going on, man?
So, by the way, love you on Channel 5 here in Los Angeles when you do your segment.
Thank you.
So I got a MacBook Pro, and originally, you know, I had a the MacBook port and my Windows laptop port had a Kensington lock or a place where you could lock it. You know, when you're traveling, you could wrap it around your bedpost, or when you're in a lobby, you can lock it around something heavy, and it would plug in. But on the new MacBooks, there's no slot, I guess, because they made it so thin that there's no way to lock it with a cable. Is there anybody do you have a solution for that?
Okay, so I think, so you're looking for one of those things, you used to just put them in the side, they used to actually come with a dedicated port on your computer that you just put this little thing in and kind of twist it and then lock it and you can lock up your computer. Yeah, you're right, on the new computer they don't really have that, so there's no place for that. I didn't know there was ever one on Apple, but I knew they had them on my PCs, but never on my Apple, but... here's what I recommend. So a couple things. You can go two routes. You can get kind of this is what I did at my office. I have a tablet that I basically had to stick something onto, you know, like a little hook that I put on the backside, and then you can loop through on that. So you can do that. I mean, I know that's definitely not what you want to do on your laptop. Not ideal. But you can probably look for a USB lock. So basically something that plugs into the USB and locks that way. I don't know if it does. I don't know if that exists out there, but that's the way I'd look for to do that. Now, what's the reason you need to lock this thing up?
Well, I'm a full-time DJ, so like say you're doing a ceremony and you got the music running and you leave, you don't want somebody walking off my $10,000 laptop. So.
Oh yeah. Okay. In that case, okay. So you're kind of like set up and kind of leave it there on a table kind of thing. I think your best bet is going to be a kind of a stick-on lock that goes on your device. I think that's going to probably be the best scenario. And I would also just check out in the chat room. We've got let's see, MacLocks. .com. Let's see what they have. So MacLocks.com. It seems like they have a bunch of stuff as well. Yeah, I mean, they have a bunch of different ways to lock up your system. Yeah, it looks like you have to get some sort of third-party accessory that's going to kind of, you know, hack this together. So, Yeah, you can figure it out. There's ways of doing it. And since you're setting it up at like a DJ stand, it's not like, look, you're just basically trying to take away that first line of defense of hey, just, oh, I see that computer. Boom, I'm going to run off with it. You're making it tougher for them. This person is an opportunity bandit. So if you take that opportunity away from them, you're going to have pretty good luck. Look, if they want to steal it, they could still figure out a way to steal it. But you're making it a little bit tougher for someone to just, you know, run off with your system. So, Alvis, thanks so much. And good luck with the DJ gig. That's awesome. I love that. DJs can really, man, a good DJ can really make a party, right? I mean, that's the way it is. All right, let's go to another call. We've got Ron in Chatsworth. Ron, what's going on? You're on with Rich.
Rich, first off, I enjoy your show on Channel 5 whenever I get it. We watch it every night.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm celebrating my 40th year as a writer.
Wow. Congratulations. 40 years doing anything is a lot, right?
Well, I'll tell you, the hardest thing I ever wrote was a Scooby-Doo cartoon.
Oh, wow. I probably watched that cartoon as a kid.
Well, I knew it would be around forever, and so I spent more time on that than I did writing for Norman Lear on, you know, one of his shows or something.
Wow.
So, anyway, I wanted to ask, I have an iPhone, I think it's a 7, and a couple of things. When I ask Siri to call someone, sometimes she calls them. Say, call John Smith, Siri, and she calls John Smith. And then I use it again, say, Siri, call Jane Smith, and it says, you must first unlock your cell phone. And it's like, how can I stop it from locking me out sometimes and letting me through other times? How can I just keep it unlocked, you know, the whole day?
Well, there's a couple settings inside your Siri that you can look at and see how they're, you know, what they're, where they are and why that's causing that. But basically, in general with phones, most of the time it reauthorizes you after a certain amount of time. If there's a certain amount of time that goes between the last time you unlocked it and you're trying to do something, and especially when it comes to contacts, your phone, you know, it wants to keep your privacy. And even though Siri does have functionality where it can say, you know, it can activate basically while your phone is locked, there's an option for that. That's what you want to look at. So in your settings on your iPhone, go into Siri and search. And this may be the, I don't know if you updated to iOS 11 yet, but you have a 7. So when you go in there, it says, you know, listen for Hey Siri, press home for Siri, and allow Siri while locked. So the one that you're interested in most is allow Siri while locked. And so you can basically make sure that's turned on, and that's going to give you the best chance of completing that call. Now, just, you know, what I've seen in my experience with all of these systems is that, yes, sometimes they do call without unlocking, and other times they do ask you to unlock, even though I have this kind of on. And I think that has to do with, you know, sort of an algorithm in the phone that is saying, like, hey, we haven't really heard from you in a while. We haven't had, you know, a fingerprint authorization in a while. So let's kind of reauthorize you to make sure you are who you say you are. And also when you set up, you can try this again, Ron, as you can go through and set up your voice again on Siri. So if you go through the kind of the workflow of turning off Siri and then turning her on and setting up your Hey Siri voice, that might help. And I keep just saying that, which I shouldn't, because it probably activates a lot of phones. So apologies for that. There's like 15, you know, they used to have the, what was it? The 7 deadly words you couldn't say on radio. Well, now there's like 3 more, and they have to do with, the A word from Amazon, the G word from Google, and the S word from Apple, because you say any of these things and like 15,000 devices come to life because they're all activated like that. Ron, hopefully that helps. But yeah, it's basically an authorization thing where that's what's happening there. Let's go to David. David in Los Angeles, you're on with Rich.
Hey, how's it going?
It is going great. You tell me, how's it going?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Got just about a minute, so let's hear your question.
Yeah. Real quick, I have a bunch of external hard drives that I want to back up online, and I know you guys recommend Carbonite, but they don't allow you to do multiple hard drives. I was using a thing called Backblaze, but apparently you need to put those hard drives online, like the physical hard drive online every 30 days or it erases its data. I'm looking for a place where I can put like 8 external hard drives with unlimited data and I can just keep them there in the cloud somewhere unless I need them. You know, it's not something I...
That's a lot of data.
I work in the entertainment industry, so it's like it's just old sessions and stuff.
Wow. Yeah, I mean that's a lot, and uploading that to the cloud is going to take forever. So yeah, I think you need the kind of a very you need something industrial. You need kind of like a big industrial thing, like something that runs on Amazon, their AWS service. I think that's going to be. I would do a search for something like Amazon AWS Backup Corporate or something like that, because you need a lot of space up there, and that's not something that these consumer ones do. 888-88-88 Ask Leo is the number. I'm Rich DeMuro, and we will be back with more of your calls after this. Welcome back to The Tech Guy. I'm Rich DeMuro, filling in for Leo Laporte. And man, what a big smile on my face. Clearly, Mike, the producer, is listening to everything I talk about. And yes, I'm from New Jersey, so a little Bon Jovi is playing us in right now. Thanks for that. Always a good song. Phone number to call in is 888-ASK-LEO, 888-ASK-LEO. If you want to see some of the questions that people have asked in the past, you can go to the website, techguylabs.com. I'm Rich DeMuro, filling in for Leo today. Leo's on vacation, and I'm the tech reporter for KTLA 5 in Los Angeles. I do a TV segment that is sent out to a bunch of stations, and we test gadgets, we talk about cool websites, tips, all kinds of cool stuff. My website, if you want to look at it, is richontech.tv. That's where I put all my stories. So Tesla... I don't have a Tesla, but I did recently get to drive one. I took a road trip in a Tesla. I called Tesla and said, hey, I'd like to get some experience with this thing because I talk about it all the time, especially with the 3 coming out. I need some hands-on experience. I need to know what it's like to charge a Tesla, to drive a Tesla, all that good stuff. And so they gave me a Tesla for a week. And guess what the Tesla was? They didn't tell me this, but I kind of figured it out. They're like, oh, this one's really fast. It can go 0 to 60 in like 2.5 seconds. I'm like, oh, okay, that sounds great. It was the Tesla S. Well, sure enough, I look up the price. It's 160 grand, this car. This thing is loaded. I should have known because it had the white leather seats, the autopilot. It was just everything. Everything you can get on a Tesla, this thing had. The extended range, whatever. All glass roof. I mean, this thing was just phenomenal. And when I tell you... 0 to 60, all electric torque. It was unbelievable. I mean, I even though I knew I was gonna, you know, put the pedal to the metal, and I was still flying in the back of my seat. I actually got sick a little bit because I was going so fast. And even though I was prepared for it, it was still just an unbelievable experience. I drove it from LA to San Francisco. Just to see what it was like. I mean, I was really curious, like, am I going to be, you know, how does it work? How does it work for charging? How fast is the charging? All this good stuff. So anyway, that's my story on KTLA on Monday. If you're in Los Angeles, I'll have that. Or I'll put it on my Facebook page, facebook.com/richontech. Because it was just such a fun experience. But I bring this up because I did charge this car. I only had to charge it like twice while I had it, maybe 3 times. And the charging is interesting because when you go to the gas station to charge up your gas... you're only there for 5 minutes. You may walk into the convenience store, you may, you know, grab a soda, whatever, but you're there. It's pretty quick. Well, with the Tesla, it's a little different because even though the Teslas charge really fast, you know, with their superchargers, you're still there for 20 minutes, you know, 30 minutes. And that was new to me. So what happens is a lot of these Tesla charging stations, these superchargers, are located near businesses. So, you know, there might be a Starbucks nearby. There might be, a restaurant. I stopped at a place called Harris Ranch in like mid-California. And I ate there twice because they had just a crazy amount of Tesla superchargers, maybe like 20 of them, maybe 25. I don't know. It was a lot. But when you get the official Tesla supercharger, I mean, man, if we could charge our phones this fast, I mean, this thing is like, I would love to visualize the amount of electricity that's flowing into the Tesla at any given time through these chargers because it's so fast. It's just unbelievable. And then I got to my hotel where they had the slow charger, and it's like 1 mile every, 30 minutes or something insane. So you really get spoiled when you get to the superchargers because you're like, oh, I can literally stay here for 15 minutes and be charged up enough to go. And the cool thing about the Tesla is that it tells you not only where to stop for the chargers, but it also kind of figures all that out. So when you do a road trip in the Tesla, you say, here's where I want to start, here's where I want to finish. And it tells you after, an hour of driving, here's where you need to stop. Stop there for 7 minutes, charge up, and then you can go to the next station, charge up for 15 minutes. And it was amazing. And I'm not convinced, the whole I thought this was the future for sure, but I really, when I think about the scale of how many gas stations are in America compared to how many supercharger stations, it's pretty crazy. I mean, you can stop anywhere for gas. But when it comes to supercharger, you just don't have that option. You are at the mercy of where these things are located. And yeah, you can always plug in somewhere randomly, like a regular plug. But guess what? You better get a hotel room because you're going to be overnight as well. So Tesla is going to add some convenience stores, it sounds like, to its charging stations. So the funny thing is they're already located kind of by these little places that have, Starbucks and coffee places. But now, according to a report from Restaurant Business, Tesla is looking through the idea of basically setting up convenience stores near their chargers. The guy says the people spend 20, 30 minutes at these stops. They want to have a cup of coffee, go to the bathroom. This makes perfect sense. But do you think Tesla needs their own? I mean, don't you think they can just partner with someone, which I'm sure they're going to do? 7-Eleven, that would be a perfect partner. Hey, every 7-Eleven has a Tesla charger. I mean, wouldn't that be nice? That's what they need. This is what I've realized after being in this car for a week, is that you're always wondering where your next charge is going to come from. You have to. You have to think about it. With gas, you don't really have to think about it. I've ran out of gas. I haven't. I used to have a diesel. And, so it was a little bit tougher to find those stations sometimes. But, I mean, come on. It's nothing like an electric charger. But I think this makes sense, but I like the idea. I think that Tesla should really partner with a big brand. So, hey, every Motel 6 has a supercharger, and that would make life a little bit easier because you wouldn't have to necessarily search for supercharger. You just search for that hotel. And of course it's always good for the business. Harris Ranch, I stopped there twice. It was this, it was some sort of nice, it was actually a nice restaurant. And, I ate there twice because I knew I was going to sit down for a meal and wait for this car to charge. And so it's a little bit different than stopping, going through a drive-through, because you do spend some money too, which is also funny. So every time you stop to charge, it's like the charging's free, but that cup of coffee's not, or the food you eat is not free. 8888 Ask Leo. You can tell me your experience if you've had an electric car, if you've driven one. I've been in a couple of them. And I got to say that the Tesla, the Model, the S was amazing. And if the Model 3 is literally half the car that the S is, I mean, it was a treat to drive. I mean, I felt like I was in the future. That's how much this car does for you. I tried the autopilot. I did not like the part where it steers by itself. I liked the part where it kept the distance from the car in front of it. But the staying in the lane, I mean, to me, it's, if you can't take your hands off the wheel and let the car do everything by itself, then why just, then you zone out. And that's kind of dangerous to me. So I really liked just doing the auto cruise control part, which a lot of cars have. But the steering was a little bit weird because I didn't necessarily see the point of the car kind of steering. I guess if you're in a dangerous situation where you're kind of tired, which you shouldn't be driving anyway, it's probably a good thing to have that backup where the car will kind of stay in your lane for you until it kind of wakes you up and says, hey, come on, what are you doing there? So we've got another guest coming up later on. Dick DiPartolo is going to talk to us coming up later on in the hour about some gadgets. He's the GizWiz. And we're taking more of your calls after this. 8888 Ask Leo. 8888 Ask Leo is the phone number. I'm Rich DeMiro, and we'll be back in just a little bit. Hey, I hope you guys are enjoying the show. I'm having a blast filling in for Leo, but let's hear what Leo has to say now.
We'll have more with the tech guy, Rich DeMiro. Thank you so much for filling in for me this week, Rich. I will be back next week, but I hope you're enjoying. I think Rich does a great job. Our show today brought to you by Qualcomm. I know you know that name. And maybe you have a Qualcomm in your pocket. Is that a Qualcomm Snapdragon Gigabit LTE in your pocket? It might be if you have one of the latest flagship phones from Samsung or HTC. My Note 8 that I just got, it's got it. My S8, my S8 Active, the HTC U11, these latest and greatest phones operate faster on LTE than anything else because they have the Snapdragon Gigabit LTE chip right inside. Amazing technology. 4x4 MIMO, which means they open multiple channels to the cell site, so you get downloads on average about 7 times faster than your home Wi-Fi. You will stop going home to download stuff. You say, let me get that on my phone. It's that good. It can turbocharge all your connected apps. You'll download the latest game from the Play Store on the go. You can access all your files on the cloud almost as fast as you would if they were local. And that really changes your experience of computing. Android, those new Android Instant apps, they load, well, instantly. Snapdragon Gigabit LTE technology from Qualcomm. It uses the network more efficiently. By the way, that's good news. You don't have to feel guilty about all the speed you're getting because there's more room on the network for others to make use of their data plans too. So if you have an unlimited data plan, make the most of it. To learn more about epic download speeds for all your apps, visit snapdragon.com/gigabit. From Qualcomm, the Snapdragon Gigabit LTE is amazing. Snapdragon.com/gigabit. And we thank Qualcomm, Snapdragon Gigabit LTE for their support of the Tech Guy podcast. Now back to Rich.
Thank you, Leo. Man, did you hear that? Leo said I do a good job. I love it. That was great. Those were some nice words to hear. Yeah, we've got a little bit of time here for the chat room. So I'm getting a little bit more used to the chats. So that's fun. Yep. Get the Premiere potted up. To tech terms here. Pot up that audio. There's a lot of moving parts. So you guys, Leo, man, he makes this look so easy. Just, you know, little command of the Starship Enterprise here. Man. I mean, look at all this stuff going on here. Look at the... Hello. look at that. You got that. You got that. And there's a lot of people helping me out. So believe me. Man. All right. If you guys want to call in, I know you're on the chat. If you want to call in and actually talk, you can. 8888 Ask Leo. Man, I think the toughest part has been giving out the phone number. I think that's the tough. I get tripped up every time on that. I don't know why. What's the problem with that? I guess I don't dial the phone ever. Yeah. Oh, externalized brain. Yeah, you guys are. Welcome back to the Tech Guy. I'm Rich DeMuro, filling in for Leo today, having a great time talking tech, taking your phone calls. So many things happened this week in the tech world. Man, what an exciting time right now for tech. I mean, I feel like it is the industry that is just, there's so much change happening. And it's just such a fun industry to be in. And just to me personally, I love the gadgets, obviously. And so that's a big part of it. But, you've got issues. We're here for you. So, tech issues. I mean, if you have regular issues, you know, I'm here for you there too. So if you want to call in 8888 Ask Leo, I mean, I may not be very good at helping you with those other issues, but if it's tech, I will do what I can. Let's go to Todd in San Diego. Todd, you're on with Rich.
Comments and say you're doing a fantastic job.
Oh, good. Well, thanks. Except I just pressed the wrong button, so I brought up something else. So people only heard the fantastic job part. Thank you, Todd. Appreciate that. What's on your mind today?
Hey, listen, I have a Dell laptop, and it's 3 or 4 years old. I recently, when I bought it, it had Windows 8. Recently upgraded to Windows 10. Now it's giving me issues, and it's kind of locked up. I've tried to do a system restore on it. It tells me there's no restore point, which I've restored that thing religiously. I've tried to do a factory reset on it, and it won't do that either. I've even gone to Dell and asked for a copy of my disk images so I could try to load them on there. And they no longer have my disk images in stock.
Well, isn't that convenient? So you've gone through pretty much all of the troubleshooting, the proper channels. You had your restore points. Oh, they don't work. You tried to bring it back to factory. That didn't work. You tried to call Dell for new disks. That didn't work. So what are you left with here?
I don't know.
A computer? A computer that doesn't work. So what happens when you turn this thing on?
It tries to go to the Windows screen, but then it errors out, you know, and it brings me up to the, I'm in my car right now. It brings me up to the screen and I have to try to restore it, and it won't do anything.
Okay. Now here's the deal. So you basically need to figure out a way to get a clean install of Windows on there. But you don't have a way to do that because you don't have any disks. Is that what I'm hearing?
That is correct.
Okay. So, yeah, I think your best bet is you have to somehow get a disk for Windows, maybe just get a Windows 10 disk off eBay or something like that, like obviously through the legal channels. But sure. Sounds like you're going to have to get that, you know, and someone may have your disks for your computer from, you know, on eBay for your model. So you can type in your model number and, you know, you can just type that in and see if someone has those. The problem is, do you really want to install Windows 8 on there at this point? Probably not. So you probably want to, you know, go to 10. So you've got to somehow secure 10, get that on there. And you can do this from a flash drive or, you know, some sort of, you're probably gonna have to use a flash drive to get this thing on there. Now, once you have that on there, if the hard drive is working, basically you want to format that whole drive and get the Windows fresh installed in there. The only problem is, you know, you're going to lose your entire, you know, whatever you had on your computer. So that's the problem. And this is the thing, you know, and this is a recommendation for whether you're updating your iPhone or Android or pretty much anything out there. And the reality is when you do an upgrade, things can go wrong and things can stall and things can just get messed up. And so you really need to have a backup of your computer so that doesn't happen. And, you know, we're getting a lot of people in the chat room too talking about what you can do. Go to Microsoft, get the Windows 10, drivers and disk and all that stuff. Or, you know, the other thing, and I know you probably don't want to hear this, but the computer's 4 years old. It may be time for a new computer. A 4-year-old Dell, you know, I don't know what you're doing on this computer, but it could be time maybe just to kind of let this one go and just go with a new computer. Not something you want to hear, but I think if you can secure the disks and the hard drive's working, there's no reason why you can't just there's no reason why you can't just get this thing to work and up and running again. Todd, thanks so much for calling from San Diego. I appreciate it. Let's go to Jonathan. Jonathan's in Long Beach. Jonathan, you're on with Rich.
Hey, Rich, how you doing? I'm in Long Beach. I listen to you all the time on KTLA.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
Here's the thing. Do you think Apple will put on a Find My Apple TV remote? Because I lose that thing all the time. Something where it can make a sound or a chirp. I think that's a good idea.
Oh, it's a fantastic idea. In fact, I just lost my Apple TV remote the other, I have two kids at home and, you know, basically it's always in the seat cushion or it's somewhere. There's two things. The kids either hide it somewhere. They put it like in a drawer and, I never see it again. And I'm like, where is that? And then the last thing I'll do is ask my 3-year-old, hey, did you take the remote? And he will literally lead me to where he put it, where he hid it. So to answer your question, it's something that could be done. There is Bluetooth on the remote, and I think that Apple could do it. I don't know if they will.
I think people lose that more than anything. I mean,
oh, I agree. And here's the thing.
My phone, they have it for your my AirPods, they have it, but they really need it for the Apple TV remote.
They do. They need to. The problem is they'd have to put some sort of sound on the remote because it would have to emit some sort of sound, right?
High pitch sound.
Yeah, and right now it doesn't do that. You know what you could do in the meantime? Have you ever gotten one of those tile things?
I got something where it came with 5 pieces, but it won't tape to the, I was going to tape it there. It didn't seem like, I bought something just for that, but it didn't seem like it would fit right or it was too bulky or something.
Well, yeah, I mean, anything you put on there is not going to, it's going to ruin the you know, amazing California design of the Apple remote. But any of these little trackers, and people are chiming in, the tracker.com, you can check
out
that.
Does that make a noise?
That's a good question. I'd have to check that one out. But I know
it's a Bluetooth. It can tell you if somebody else is around. and what vicinity is in, if they have a tracker on their keys or something.
Right. Yeah. But, I used to have a tracker on my keys as well. Let's see. Item Ringer. Yeah, it looks like it rings as well. So you can do that. And that is a Twit sponsor as well, just to get
so
that.
You would use it by, I tried Velcro. That is kind of bulky. Then
yeah,
I was thinking,
you're going to have to use like
gluing it to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're going to have to use like some crazy glue on there because you don't want that thing. I mean, that's personally, I mean, if you're losing this thing all the time, that's something you want to do. But I hate to ruin the aesthetics of things. I actually put one of these things on my Amazon Fire remote called the, what was it called? SideClick. And it was a remote control, you know, because the remotes on the Amazon, on a lot of them, they don't change the input on your TV. Sometimes it'll happen automatically, but you can't necessarily go to an input on your TV. So I wanted to add that functionality to my Fire TV. So I put this little thing called SideClick, and it's a remote that kind of hangs on the side of your remote, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I bought an Amazon remote case.
Yes.
TV, and they're really nice. It actually was bright yellow. And it's supposed to glow in the dark, too, at the same time.
Oh, wow. So why are you losing so many remotes, Jonathan? What's happening in your house?
That's all the time. So, you know, I put it one way and another, forget where I put it at, or go to sleep with it and
yeah.
Yeah,
well, so I did test a gadget recently that did have this functionality built in. It was called the Sling Air TV. And it's basically, you know, Sling, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they have this box that basically... it kind of brings together your over-the-air channels with Sling TV. And their remote, there's a little button on the device, like the set-top box, and then the remote, when you press that button, it would ring. So I know it's possible, and I know that these companies have thought about this. But here's what happens, and I don't know if you have kids, Jonathan, but what did my kids do? They press this little button all the time, so every 5 minutes, you'd hear the remote going, beep, 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 beep. So, yeah, there's a pro and con to all tech solutions. But, Jonathan, thanks so much for calling in. You got to stick something on there, I guess, in the meantime. Or, you know what? You just have to have a place. You know how you have a place for your keys when you walk in the front door? Have a place for your remote when you're done using it. All right, GizWiz is joining us next. We're going to talk some gizmos and gadgets with Dick DiPartolo coming up next on The Tech Guy. Welcome back to The Tech Guy. I'm Rich DeMuro, filling in for Leo Laporte today. And it's been a great couple hours here on the radio. Dick DiPartolo is joining me now. He is the GizWiz. You know him from ABC News, Mad Magazine. Dick has been to every trade show I've ever been to. I always run into him and say, hey, what's up? And just a great overall guy. So, Dick, thanks so much for joining me today.
Oh, it's great fun being here. You're doing a great job. I've been a fan of yours for 2 hours and 46 minutes.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's been a good amount of time. So what do you have for us today? What are you going to surprise me with today?
Well, there's a little show here in the city about a week or so ago called the Kids and Family Tech Expo. And there was a company there called Kano, K-A-N-O. And I know them from Toy Fair about 2 years ago. They made a little do-it-yourself build a computer kit. And they were on Kickstarter looking for $100,000. And I think they got over $1 million.
Whoa.
So they were on to something.
Wow, that's amazing. Is that fair as fun as it sounds, by the way, that little toy fair? That I never been to it in New York. Is it really
Toy
fun?
Fair, the show in January, yes. In February, rather, yes. It's amazing. It's two floors of nothing but toys, and kids aren't allowed.
Oh, that's the best part.
Yeah, we go in and act like kids. So Kenno came out with something now called Pixel Kit. And it's a little kit for kids starting about 6 to 8. And it's real easy to put it together. There's no soldering, no welding mask, nothing like that. Just a click together kit. But once it's together, you can do things like make a little sound machine. And that's what they were demonstrating at the show, is the Pixel Kit has a built-in microphone. And you just follow the little step-by-step directions so that you can make a pair of moving lips on the front of this little Pixel screen.
Oh,
and then as kids hold it in front of them. And as kids talk, these LED lips move up and down. Or if you play music, you can set it up to dance, to have lights dance any way you want. And so there are very easy programs in there. Or if kids really want to learn some coding, you can follow along. They have several online videos. And the best thing is it's $75.
Wow. And that's great because it's different levels. They can have fun with it, but they sort of have to build it first, which is neat. So the kids learn and, you know, they're kind of learning how to code, like you said, and they can obviously play games. And, of course, just putting this thing in front of your mouth and having the lips move with it is kind of fun.
It's great fun. It's great fun. And then, like, the basic programs, it's just on a screen. You can just pick a color and put it in a line and then pick something else and put it in a line and then send it to the device, and it does it. So a very young kid will be so impressed to think, I just made that happen the way I wanted it to happen.
Do we have an age range for this? What's the recommended? Do we know?
They recommend 6 to 8. 6, you can start playing with it. 8, you can start actually building programs for it. And I was over on their website, and it looks like if you make a fun program, you can upload it to the Keno.me website or copy other kids' programs and build what they're building. And it's Wi-Fi and it's Bluetooth and USB, so build it on your hook it to any computer, Mac or PC, and you can send programs to it. You can send programs to it wirelessly, and away from power, it can play for 3 hours on its own. So it's a neat little device.
You've been covering this stuff for so long, and it's so crazy when you think about this device, you know, that we have today, the Pixel Kit, compared to some of the gadgets and toys and things that you were shown off many years ago. It's pretty amazing how far we've come. The stuff that kids
amazing.
Are playing with.
Yes. Well, you know, you were probably at the CES that I was at where they were talking about a 1 gigabyte SD card.
Oh, my gosh.
And people going, what? What? And Rich, I think it was $100 or $200.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, now what do you have that in your watch? I mean, it's just.
Oh, yeah.
Astounding.
You're running out of space if you only have a gig left on your watch.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So you're right. It is a little thing like this 10 years ago, this little toy would have been $1,000.
Wow.
So kids are very lucky these days.
They are, and they're spoiled. My kids throw their iPads around like they're nothing, and I'm like, I paid $400 for that thing. Hey, come on. At least it has an OtterBox on it. We love your game, What the Heck Is It? That's on your website, gizwiz.biz. So you can go there and try it out and test your luck and see if you can figure out.
Yeah, test your luck. We give away 36 mads a month. So if people want to do it, that'd be great. And so, there's info on the Pixel Kit there, too.
Yeah, you can get the Kano Pixel Kit, which is really fun. I mean, it's always nice to find these little gifts for kids, like, because you always get the same stuff for them over and over. So this is really unique, and it's a really cool thing. It teaches them something. I mean, that's the best part about it. So, Dick, thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate it.
No problem. Hearing you, and you'll be on tomorrow again?
I'll be on tomorrow if all the stars align. So thank you.
Okay. Take care, buddy.
All right.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
I've got
Bye.
Time for one more call. So one more call, and we'll go to look at this. We have a caller in New Jersey. Steve in
Hi.
New Jersey. What's up?
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. I'm from New Jersey, so I'm glad that you're our last caller today.
Greetings back from New Jersey.
How's the weather there? Is it nice?
It's actually, we're having another summer. It's in the 80s again.
Oh, my 80? Wow, that's crazy. Okay. What's on your mind, Steve?
Working on. So about maybe 2 weeks ago, let me give you my layout. I have a computer with an output jack, an amplified speaker plugged into it, and the left speaker plugs into the right speaker, the right speaker plugs into the computer. So that's how it's laid out. So about 10 days ago, the left speaker stopped playing. So the steps that I took to try and figure out what was going on was I replaced the speakers, didn't help. Replaced the cable, didn't help. So I went to one of the retail stores, and I bought a USB sound card. Not the kind you plug in, but it was like a USB you plug into there. Didn't help. So I booted up using a Linux USB stick.
Okay.
Tried coming in that way. Didn't help. So now I'm stumped because I took out the operating system, I took out the sound card, took out the speakers, took out the cable. It still continues to happen. So this is my question: what's left?
Wow. So you've got this thing plugged into your computer, and you have two speakers plugged into this device, and only one is working.
Right. One speaker plugs into the computer, the second speaker plugs into the first speaker.
And have you tried plugging something else into these, like a pair of headphones or something, just to verify that it's not working through the sound card?
Yep, I tried plugging my phone into it, and the speakers are fine. But I tried two sets of speakers, two sets of cables, two sets of sound cards, and the machine itself is on Windows, but I tried booting up off of a Linux drive just to try it on a Linux operating system. It still happened there, too. So I'm stumped. I have no idea what else to try.
Wow. I mean, can you get, like, and you order this little USB off of, like, a website and plug this in, and it still doesn't work? This is the new one?
It was in a retail store that's here in Jersey, but it was from Creative Labs.
Interesting, and it just doesn't. Okay, so it sounds like it could be a headphone issue or a software issue on your computer.
I'm not sure if it was, because that's why I tried replacing. I also replaced the drivers and everything like that when it was on Windows, but then when I booted up using Linux, at that point they took the entire Windows operating system out of the loop.
Man, this is a lot. This is a lot to do for a speaker. This is pretty crazy,
yeah.
And what are you trying to put out of these speakers?
Just standard music, just right out of YouTube.
Wow, that is crazy. I think it sounds like something in your operating system that needs to be tweaked. Speaker. Go into your speaker settings, and I know it sounds simple, but I feel like it has to be that it's on left or right or something like that, because it just seems like with a USB device, it should not be outputting just to one side. There's got to be something in the settings and the properties that is causing it to just do one channel to the left or to the right there, like you're saying. Very strange problem, but talk about troubleshooting the issue. I mean, Steve did everything right. He changed the operating system. He tried just about everything he can. And definitely kind of a weird thing. All right. If you want to learn more, you can go to techguylabs.com. That's the website where we archive all the information that we talk about on the show. I've had a blast hosting the show today, so thanks so much for this opportunity. Thanks so much for the chat room for tossing in their two cents on the different questions we've had throughout the day. And, of course, I'll be back tomorrow. So, again, I will be hosting the Tech Guy tomorrow. Thanks to Leo. Thanks to everyone here for helping me do this today. I appreciate it. And thanks to you for listening. If you're with me for the 3 hours, thank you. You deserve an award. Again, you can find me. I'm Rich DeMuro at KTLA, Channel 5 in Los Angeles, or you can find me on my website, richontech.tv. I will see you all tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening. Bye-bye.
Well, that's it for the Tech Guy Show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, it's just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows on the Netcast Network. It's called TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. You even get your daily dose of tech news with Tech News Today. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guy show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.